nonprofit serving Northern California communities is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So last night was the primetime special. It was the moment we've all been waiting for by all of us. I mean, basically just the members of the media, because I would imagine that very few Americans actually spent a lot of time watching these hearings. That's particularly true since they began with a bunch of grandstanding by Congress people, which is not the way you program a primetime special. I mean, far be it from me, a person who runs an actual large media outlet that programs on a consistent basis, to tell the Democratic policymakers that nobody actually wants to hear them jabber to camera, but nobody actually wants to hear them jabber to camera. There are a bunch of sort of imagistic mistakes that were made very early on in the January 6th special that was produced last night for mass consumption via all the networks except for Fox News. The number one mistake is don't put a bunch of jabbering idiots in front of a camera and have them talk for 10 minutes before you actually start showing any footage. But before we even get to what happened last night, we have to set the table, because we have to determine what exactly is the January 6th special attempting to do. What exactly was the goal here? So there are a bunch of things that we have to hold simultaneously in our minds, because many things can be true at once. And this has been true since January 6th happened. And I said on that day, I thought it was an awful, ugly day. I thought the images of people rushing into the Capitol building with violence on their minds, one of the most hideous images that I had seen in my political lifetime. All of that can be true. Also, you can say it was not a true threat to democracy, because the entire place was clear within 2 hours and or 3 hours, and everybody just went ahead and certified an election that had already been certified at the state level in consonance with the United States Constitution, and President Trump ended up leaving office on January 20th, 2021. All of those things can be true at once. It happens to be perfectly true that a bunch of people who believed President Trump's rhetoric between November 4th and January 6th went and protested and didn't riot and didn't end up in the Capitol building. And many of those who ended up in the Capitol building were ushered in by actual police officers opening doors. And many of them were not. They were there to actually commit acts of violence. All these things can be true at once, because life is messy. Life is messy. But what the Democrats are trying to do here is draw a clear line. And the clear logical line is, if you don't vote for us in November, it's because you're in favor of January 6th. That was the goal here. It was a grandstanding move to do this primetime special in the first place without offering any really seriously new evidence. The January 6th committee should be dedicated to legislative purposes. I mean, typically, this is what congressional committees are designed to do. They have to, by law, either perform an oversight function or a legislative function. This investigative committee performed neither. It is there specifically as a political tool, as you can tell, because Nancy Pelosi basically nixed any Republican who didn't already agree with the predetermined agenda before the January 6th committee was formed.
We now go live to Reading Colt 45's baseball with Austin White.
Hey folks, welcome back to another broadcast of your Reading Colt 45s. I'm Austin White, coming to you through KCNR. This game is going to be brought to you by North Valley Distributing, and we should have a good one here tonight. Colt 45s looking for their sixth consecutive win after taking a couple of losses in the first two games of the season, they are on a tear, winning the next five straight. Last night, they took game two out of two from NBO Sacramento, sent them home with a loss. It was a close game. Dustin Niles had the save. Tonight, they're going up against the West Coast Kings for the first time. And I got to tell you, this Kings ball club, they're not looking too bad in warm-ups. I can tell you that right now. They've definitely got a lot more depth to their lineup than any other opponent that the Colt 45s have faced so far. They've got, looks like they've got about nine on the bench alone, in addition to the starting nine out on the field, plus the pitcher. So on the mound tonight for your Colt 45s, it's going to be the big right-hander, Isaac Horseman, out of Oklahoma City University. And let me tell you, we've seen him a couple times already, and Horseman can deal the ball. So we'll see if the Kings can put up a response to Horseman and his absolutely filthy rotation of pitches. I'm watching him in the bullpen right now, and he looks on tonight, I gotta say. Well, we're just waiting for this plate meeting to finish up between the umpires and the coaches, and then we should get started with the national anthem. It's going to be sung tonight by Scott Lewis. I believe this is going to be Lewis's second time singing the national anthem for us here at Tiger Field. And until then, we're just going to wait it out. And now the coaches and umpires are shaking hands. They're going to head back to the dugouts, and shortly we should be announcing these players out onto the field and bringing out Mr. Lewis for the national anthem. Our bat boy tonight, coming out of the third base dugout, is going to be Trevor. So I got to say, we've brought a great staff of bat boys to Tiger Field so far this season. They have been doing a great job hustling around, doing all the work, getting those bats and those balls for the Colt 45s, and Trevor's going to continue to do so tonight. So it looks like we're going to just watch the West Coast Kings come out onto the third baseline so we can get that national anthem started. Or they're going to stay in the dugout. Never mind. Looks like they're staying in the dugout. Well, previously, the opposing team has run out onto that third baseline for the national anthem. It looks like today the Kings are not going to do that. They're just going to stay in the dugout while the starting lineups are announced. In our third base club tonight, the VIP pavilion, it's going to be Mayor and D-Don. Those are our guests. The actual sponsor, sorry, it's Mayor and D-Daw Law Firm. They're the premier civil litigation law firm in the area, specializing in accident injuries, business representation, and public entity representation. They have an excellent dedicated support staff, preeminent attorneys, and proudly support the Shasta County community. It's a grand slam with Mayor and D-Daw. So it looks like we're going to watch the Colt 45s come out onto the field now, starting at shortstop and batting in that number one spot as usual. It's going to be Arif Camacho, number 12, the shortstop out of Antelope Valley College. Following him, moving up from that number three spot into the number two tonight, it's going to be Kyle Norton, the first baseman out of Lassen College. Bryce Tweet's going to be batting in the three hole tonight, playing center field as expected. He's coming out of Sacramento City College. It'll be Wyatt Reginato behind him. He's in that designated hitter spot, coming out of Folsom Lake College. It'll be Trey Harrison for the second consecutive time in right field tonight, batting in that five spot, coming out of Regis University. Harrison had a great debut with the Colts last night. He was 2-for-5, had a couple of RBIs as well. It'll be Blake Tweet back in left field after having an off day last night, coming out of Sac City College. Derek Ray in left, coming out of Shasta. Mateo Mendoza is going to take the spot behind the plate tonight, Ethan Williams was there last night, but Mendoza looks like he's going to switch off once again. So it'll be Jonathan Kumai then in that nine hole playing second once again. He's been a solid addition to this Colt 45's club. And like I was saying earlier, it'll be Isaac Horseman out on the mound for the Colt 45s. Now we're all going to stand up and get ready for this national anthem. Like I said, it's going to be Mr. Scott Lewis singing the anthem tonight.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Phenomenal performance there of the Star-Spangled Banner again, sung by Scott Lewis. And with that, the Colts will get started warming up. And we'll see if Isaac Horseman has got it turned on tonight. We know how lethal he can be. Well, the conversation, I was talking about it earlier, is all about whether the Colts can keep this win streak alive. They've won their last five. They're 5-2 on the season. And they're looking for their sixth tonight against this West Coast Kings ball club. Now, I can't tell you much about the West Coast Kings club, but as I said before, a lot more depth to that lineup than any other opponent the Colts have seen. A major issue with a lot of the opponents so far for the Colts has been depth in the pitching staff, really. A lot of the opposing teams have failed to bring out enough pitchers here to Tiger Field. Most of them, in fact, having to bring in a lot of position players. That's something we saw from the Silicon Valley Sharks. They brought out in the last game of the series a pitcher who was playing third base for him for most of the series. But then when he came into pitch, I mean, it looked like he had never been on the mound in his life. He was thrown, well, like you might expect a position player to throw, just kind of throwing slow fastballs, trying to hit the strike zone. The Colts have, in all of those cases, taken advantage of that, getting a lot of free bases when they face, well, inexperienced pitchers, and also capitalizing when they get balls to hit. Arif Camacho looking to follow up his stellar performance last night with another one tonight. He had four hits last night, three singles, and then a long two-run double. The night before, he was just a triple short of the cycle as well, had a two-run home run, two-run double, and then a single to add on. So we'll see if he can keep that hot streak going, as we're going to see this first batter for the West Coast Kings come up tonight. It's going to be Luke Miles playing center field. Horseman with the first pitch. It's going to be inside for ball one. And we are getting going now at Tiger Field. Horseman sets up. Here's the delivery. Sounded like a broken bat. Dribbler down the third baseline. Reginato's got it. Throws it on over to first. He gone. Out number one. All right, so it'll be Nico Castrillo playing shortstop tonight for the West Coast Kings. And we'll see if he can have a little better at-bat this time than his predecessor, Luke Miles. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped to the second baseman, Kumai. Kumai's got it. He'll throw on over to first, out number two. So, Horseman has three pitches and two outs here to start off the first. The Colts defense getting it done early here. Two early ground outs to start off the game. It'll be Noah Young, the right fielder for the Kings. Tall guy. He steps into the box. Here's the pitch. He's going to watch a first pitch fastball go by for strike one. Horseman, he's one of those guys who's got a quick delivery out of the windup and the stretch. Now the pitch. Curveball swung on and fouled back into the net by Young. And so far, it looks like this Kings team is struggling to catch up to Isaac Horseman. Now the 0-2. Misses the outside corner. That's a fastball for ball one. Horseman, just a strike away from getting out of this one very quickly. Now he'll set up and deliver. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So, Horseman puts down the side, and we'll go into the bottom of the first now. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They're a proud sponsor, the Reading Colt 45s baseball. So we will see you after the break in the bottom of the first.
100 years ago, Reading University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the first inning. Reading Colt 45s versus the West Coast Kings. Out on the mound for the Kings, it's going to be Evan Bilter, number 92, standing at about 5 feet 11 inches. We'll see if he can put away this hot Colt 45s lineup. He's got some good velocity as he's out there warming up. But the Colts have been dealing with good velocity pretty well lately. Got quite a few home runs in their past few games. And now the man himself, Arif Camacho, coming up to the bat. He'll lead things off for the Colts.
Shortstop, number 12, Arif Camacho.
And we'll see if that hot streak continues. Camacho now striding up to the plate. It'll be a righty-on-righty action to start off the bottom of the first. Here's the pitch from Bilter. Inside. On the hands of Camacho, it'll be ball one. Now, Bilter will set up again. Here's the pitch. Swung on, tapped in the air to the second baseman. On a bounce, he's got it. He'll throw over to first, and they got him. And, uh-oh, it looks like Camacho's hurting a little bit. He's going to go limping back to the dugout. It's just a little flared ball that bounced once in the dirt in front of the second baseman before he was able to field it. But Camacho trying to run that one out hard seems to have maybe strained something. But he looks okay as he walks back into the dugout. We'll see Kyle Norton here for the first time tonight. He's going to attempt a bunt, and he'll just go right through it for strike one. Norton out of Lassen College. He's been performing well for the Colt 45s. Had, three hits last night, including a 2-RBI triple. He's definitely got some power behind him. Big lefty. He watches a ball go by. It'll be 1-1. Now the pitch from Bilter. Swung on and lifted into left field. Left fielder coming in. Shortstop going back. And it's going to be the shortstop, Nico Castrillo, to make the catch for out number two.
Now batting center field, number 20.
So we'll see the power hitter, Bryce Tweet, come up tonight. Tweet last night was pretty quiet. He had a single, and reached on an error, but was put away in his other three at-bats. We know if Tweet gets a hold of one, how much damage he can do with it. So the question tonight will be, can he get a hold of one? Bilter sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be a fastball outside for ball one. We've got two outs here in the bottom of the first. If I had to say this early on in the game, it looks like it might be a defensive battle. Now the pitch swung on and tapped foul back into the net for strike one. But just from what we've seen, both pitchers definitely performing at a high level tonight. Horseman having a 1-2-3 inning in the top of the inning. And Bilter looks like he might be about to do the same. See, he throws a fastball inside, but it'll catch the corner of the strike zone for strike two. So a ball and two strikes to Tweed. He's going to take a deep breath before he steps back into the box. Now Bilter setting up. Here comes the delivery. That's going to be spiked in the dirt. Good block from the catcher, Gavin Martinez. But it'll be ball two. So two balls, two strikes, two outs. Nobody on for Bryce Tweed. Still looking for the first hit of the ball game for either team. Now the pitch. High, ball three. So Tweed's battled back, gotten Bilter to throw a couple outside the strike zone, and the count turns full. Now the payoff pitch. Missed the outside corner. It'll be ball four to Bryce Tweed. Now that one looked like it was in the strike zone, but the catcher, Martinez, dropped it right out of his glove. And I know some umpires, especially when you're kind of in this amateur collegiate level, can be kind of sticklers about really catching that ball and striking a pose. And if you don't, even a one that's clearly a strike could be ruled a ball. So now with the runner on first, it's going to be Reginato, and he's going to take a first pitch fastball for a strike. Tweed, the center fielder, he's got a little bit of speed leading off at first. We'll see if he tries to do something with it here. Now the pitch. In the dirt. Nice block by Martinez. It just went right into the right side of the chest protector. And as he blocked it, it just kind of bounced right back into his hand. So now the 1-1 count to Reginato. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. And Martinez drops the ball, so there will be no throw. Now, I'm wondering here if Martinez is working with a new glove or something. He's kind of looking at it. But he's dropped a couple of pitches that, quite honestly, should not have been dropped so far here in the bottom of the first. And now, just like that, the Colts are threatening with a runner on second. Now, Martinez is going to call time and head on out to have a little bit of a chat with Bilter. Just exchanges a couple of words. Maybe he just wanted to tell him in person what pitch he wants to throw. So it'll be a 2-1 count, and now Bilter's going to step off the rubber once again. It looks like there's still a little bit of confusion there. Tweed taking a good lead off a second. He's not being held on too tight. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back behind the stands for strike two. So, two balls, two strikes, two outs, and a runner on second. Reginato takes a step out and now steps back in. Bilter still looking down for his sign. He's been staring down there quite a while. Now he'll take it and set up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the first baseman. He's going to run it in himself for out number three. So the Kings allow a base runner, but shut down the Colts aside from that. We'll head into the top of the second. It'll be Matteo Bellissimo starting it off for the Kings. We'll see you after the break, folks.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
And we're back.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the second inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Colt 45s and the Kings. As of course, when coming back out on the mound, he had a 1-2-3 inning in the top of the first. Let's see if he can stay hot. It's going to be Matteo Bellissimo, the first baseman, coming up to the plate. He's a big guy. We'll see if he hitting in that four spot can provide some power for the Kings here. Now, a little side note. The Colts and Kings seem to have inverted uniforms here. The Colts wearing yellow with black sleeves, and the Kings wearing black with yellow sleeves. You know, kind of seems like two different uniforms for the same team. Bellissimo is going to watch a strike go by. Now he's going to check swing at a curveball, but it doesn't look like he went on that, so it'll be a ball and a strike. Now Horseman gets his sign and delivers. Curveball, that one doesn't look to find the strike zone. It'll be two balls and a strike. Here's the 2-1 delivery. Swung on and fouled deep to the right side of the parking lot. And it sure looks like Bellissimo's got some power behind that bat. We'll see now if he can straighten it out. Get one fair. The count will be 2 balls and 2 strikes. The pitch from Horseman. Swung on and missed strike 3. So Horseman's got his second strikeout of the game. And one out here in the top of the second inning. It'll be Josh Rego, the designated hitter, another big guy. Big righty, I should say, coming in to bat. Horseman sets up and now delivers. Nice curveball. I got to say, that was a filthy pitch. Absolutely froze Rego for strike 1. And I was talking about it earlier. Horseman, he's got a plethora of nasty pitches he can use that he's had some real luck with as of late. He's going to throw another curveball that falls in for a strike. Now the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop Camacho. Camacho's got it. Throws over to first and a little off the bag, but Norton comes off and makes the tag. It'll be out number 2. So a nice play there from Camacho and a nice save from Norton. Coming off the bag and making the tag. And that'll bring up RJ Soria, the third baseman, here for the Kings. And it looks like Horseman's on the verge of another 1-2-3 inning. Here's the pitch. Inside, ball 1. Horseman now takes his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the face mask of the umpire. He'll take off his mask, give a new ball to the catcher, and the catcher Mendoza is going to walk it out to Horseman, give the umpire a little bit of time to recover.
Happy birthday, 9 years old today to Nash. Happy birthday, Nash.
So it'll be a ball and a strike to R.J. Soria. And now Mendoza and Horseman are just kind of having a little bit of a chat out there. And it looks like that home plate umpire is actually going to call him back in. So Mendoza taking advantage of a little shock to the umpire to have a conversation with Horseman. And now Soria will step back in. Soria. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled to the left side. Back behind the stands. We got a lot of little guys here tonight. Looks like the entire, maybe the 11U NorCal Nationals team in the stands. And a few of them are going to go chasing after that ball. It's a 1-2 count now to Soria. Here's the pitch. Swung on, fouled in almost the exact same spot. And now they're going to go for their second foul ball. Count remains 1-2 as Soria stays alive. Horseman now taking his sign, shakes one off. Now he's going to step off for a second before stepping back on, getting a new sign. He's going to shake another one off now. He likes this one, though. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into left field. It's going to go over the head of the left fielder, Tweed, who will throw it in to second. So a hard line drive from Soria earns him a single. But I'm going to be honest with you. That one sure looked like it could be a double. It was a line drive that just went right over the top of the glove of Blake Tweed in left field. Tweed was able to catch up to it and cut it off right before it hit the wall, however, and then threw it in before Soria was able to get to second base. So Gavin Martinez, the catcher, now coming up. He's going to swing and miss at a fastball for strike one. Horseman allows his first hit of the night. Now the 0-1 pitch is going to be fouled off to the right side. It'll be a 1-2 count. I wasn't quite expecting that from Soria. He's not a huge guy, but he obviously has a little bit of power that he just showed off there. Really just kind of muscled that one, but it is a hard line drive, I'll tell you. Now, the 0-2 pitch. High fastball, it'll miss the strike zone, ball one. Martinez, tall guy, one of the taller catchers I've seen. Definitely. He's kind of lanky for a catcher, if I might add. Now the pitch. Swing on and missed. Strike three. So now there's a little bit of confusion on whether that was two or three outs, but they're going to finally figure out that it was indeed three. Just like that, the Colts get out of it. They allow a base runner, but no runs. And we'll head into the bottom of the second after the break. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the second inning. It's going to be Evan Bilter back out onto the mound for the Kings as Trey Harrison, the powerful right fielder out of Regis University, steps up to the plate. The big lefty, again, in his debut performance for the Colts last night, had a great game. He had a double as well as an RBI single. And now he'll try to repeat that performance, maybe even come up with a better one. Bilter setting up for the first pitch. Here it comes. Fastball outside, ball one. So Harrison came in. He took the place of Blake Tweed in the lineup last night as he watches another fastball go by high this time for ball two. This time, however, Blake Tweed is going to be back in the lineup in left field. Derek Ray this time in that designated hitter spot. Now Harrison's going to foul one off behind the stands for strike one. It'll be a 2-1 count to start off this bottom half of the inning. Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. And just like that, it is now a 2-2 at that. Harrison didn't really get a chance to show off any great defensive attributes last night. Not much action out in right field. Now he's going to watch one go by in the dirt for ball three. So the count moves full. But, we know he's got some use with that bat, for sure. He's coming out of Regis University, Division II Jesuit College. Here's the pitch. Swung on and sharply grounded to the right side. It's going to be foul. The count remains full. Harrison looks a little bit upset. I think that was his pitch. And he just missed it a little bit. So now Bilter is setting up. He'll deliver. Swung on and lifted into center field. Center fielder coming in. Shortstop going back. And the shortstop falling back is going to make the catch. Wow. Great play from that shortstop, Nico Castrillo. He was running back and then turned around, started backpedaling, and then leaped backwards and fell on his back. Just barely made the catch. So out number one. Here in the bottom of the second inning, it's going to be Blake Tweed. Like we were saying, he sat out the game last night. Now we'll see if he can make something happen for the Colts with an out and no one on. We've got Derek Ray, the designated hitter, on deck. Now a sharply hit ground ball to the third baseman. It's going to go off his glove and in front. Now he'll pick it up and throw, and got him. The fans here are a little upset at that call by the first base umpire, but Tweed nonetheless is going to head back to the dugout. It was a hard hit ball to that third baseman, RJ Soria. Soria kind of just batted it down with his glove and took a couple steps, picked the ball up, fired over to first, and got the out. So now Derek Ray, he's going to ground one to Soria again. Soria's got it this time. He'll throw over to first once again. And out number three. So quite a bit of action over there at third base this inning. As another 1-2-3 from the Kings. We'll head into the top of the third. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing. They're a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. And a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. We'll see you in the top of the third.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the top of the third inning here at Tiger Field. Once again, Isaac Horstman back out on the mound. He's performed well so far. Hasn't given up a run through two innings. Three strikeouts, actually. He's only given up one hit, and it was that long line drive single from RJ Soria. Now we'll see Logan Carter, the left fielder, come up to the plate. And he'll try to start something off for the Kings here in the top of the third inning. Carter now stepping into the box. Kicks around some dirt before looking to Horseman, who now delivers. Swung on and lifted high into the air into shallow right field. Kumai's going back on it, and he'll make the catch. So a nice play there by Kumai, kind of had a difficult angle on that high pop fly. But with one pitch, Horstman gets his first out of the inning. That'll bring up Mike Vina, the second baseman. He'll see if he can have a little more success than Carter coming up here. Horstman with the delivery. Swung on and fouled back into the wall behind home plate. It'll be no balls and a strike for Vina as he takes a deep breath before stepping back into the box. Horstman now delivers. Swung on and fouled this time into the parking lot. I got to tell you, those cars out there on that right side, they have got to be careful. Quite a few foul balls headed over there already. Good crowd here tonight at Tiger Field. Horstman now delivering the 0-2 pitch. It'll be a high fastball. Just a little higher than he wanted it. Not quite believable enough for Vina to go chasing. So the count will move to a 1-2. Now Horstman once again. Nasty curveball. It's going to be grounded up the middle to Kumai. Kumai's got it. He'll throw to first. Out number two. So Horstman does another nice job of fooling this Kings offense through one of his signature filthy curveballs. And Vina did a good job of responding and reacting to it, but not good enough as he gets jammed in on the hands and just sends a weak ground ball up the middle. Now Horseman's going to deliver a fastball. It'll miss outside to Luke Miles, the center fielder, who's back up for the second time. Now he'll, that sure looked like a strike to me. It's a fastball that apparently missed a little low, according to the umpire. Now the 2-0 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike one. So a 2-1 count. Miles. Horstman taking a deep breath before stepping back on that rubber. Shakes off a couple of signs. He likes this one. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled again back into the net. So it's quickly gone from a 2-0 count to a 2-2 count for Luke Miles. And now he'll look to stay alive with two outs here in the top of the third inning. Horseman will set up and now deliver. Swung on and driven into left field, past the glove of the third baseman Reginato for a base hit. So on a 2-2 count, Miles delivers for the Kings, gets himself a single. Reginato laid out for that one and came close to it, but not close enough, as that one is sent out into left for a two-out base hit. It'll be Nico Castrillo facing Horseman for the second time tonight. He grounded out in his first at-bat. Let's see what he does here. The pitch from Horseman. Fastball right at the bottom of the zone for strike one. Well, as I said a little earlier, good crowd here at Tiger Field. I'd estimate it in probably somewhere in the 200s. Horseman now delivering. Fouled very weakly off to the right side. That one was right off the end of the bat. Had some serious spin on it as it just kind of dribbled a few feet to the right and then spun in place for a little. It'll be an 0-2 count now to Nico Castrillo. He's going to try to stay alive here. The pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. And Horseman does it again. So we'll head into the bottom of the third. Still no runs scored by either team in this game. The Colts will look to change that. And we'll see you after the break.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the third inning here at Tiger Field. Still, both teams looking to score their first runs of the game. The Colt 45s here looking to be the first. It's going to be Mateo Mendoza, the catcher, up to the plate for the first time tonight. He'll look to get the first hit of the ball game for this Colt 45 team. So far, Evan Bilter, the pitcher for the West Coast Kings, has done a great job of shutting down what we have iterated many times previously, this red-hot Colt 45's offense. Bilter will set up now. Here's the first pitch of the inning. Swung on and lifted high, straight up. The first baseman is going to make his way towards it. Now it's going to drift over to the left a little, but he's going to make the catch. That was Mateo Bellissimo making the first out of the inning for the Kings. And Mendoza is going to head back to the dugout. Not what you want to do in an at-bat at all. Mendoza went first pitch on that one and just lifted it straight into a out. Not a productive at-bat, but it'll bring up Jonathan Kumai for the first time tonight. He's going to watch a nice curveball drop right into the zone for strike one. Bilter working quickly tonight. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into shallow left field. The third baseman, shortstop, and left fielder are going after it, and it's going to be the shortstop, Castrillo, making the catch, barely. He caught it in the pocket, but it slid right out to the end. He had it on a snow cone there, but makes the catch nonetheless. So already tonight is going to be Nico Castrillo, the shortstop, making a couple of nice plays. But just like that, the Kings have two outs, and that'll bring up Arif Camacho to the plate once again. He grounded out earlier in the game. Here's the pitch. That's going to be spiked in the dirt. Bounces over the head of the catcher, Martinez. Like we've been saying all night, Camacho He is on a nice streak, having 7 hits in his last 2 games. Now the pitch. That one's going to be way high. Ball 2. And it looks like in these last couple of pitches, Belter has just lost a bit of control. So now Camacho, here's the 2-0 pitch. That one's going to be inside. It'll be 3-0. But we're really hoping that Camacho can keep that hot streak alive, continue to lift the Colts to another win. Here's the pitch. That'll be a strike. Martinez can't hold on to it. And, you know, like I said, I believe a couple innings earlier, Martinez is just having a hard time holding on to that pitch. And you could see that home plate umpire just was a little hesitant to even call that a strike, but it was pretty obvious it was. Now Camacho's going to ground one sharply to the shortstop, Castillo, who will fire on over to first. Got him by a step for out number 3. So the Colts are put away once again. They still have yet to get their first hit of the ballgame. We'll head into the bottom of the third inning. Sorry, top of the 4th inning after the break.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the 4th inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the West Coast Kings, presented to you by North Valley Distributing. It's going to be Noah Young, the right fielder, coming up for the second time tonight. He wasn't looking too comfortable at the plate in his first at-bat. Struck out by Horseman. Horseman will be looking to do the same thing again here as Young strides up to the plate. Horseman already having a great performance tonight. He's only allowed 2 hits through 3 innings. No runs. We'll see if he can continue to shut down this Kings offense. Now the pitch. Swung on and driven into center field. Sharply, it's going to go into the glove of the center fielder, Bryce Tweet. Tweet was sprinting back and had to make a little bit of a jump, fully extending that glove to make the catch. So Horseman saved from a little bit of trouble there by the center fielder, Tweed. And just like that, Noah Young is put away. And Mateo Bellissimo comes up to the plate. He also struck out in his first at-bat. And he's going to watch curveball go by almost in the dirt for strike one, for ball one, I'm sorry. Bellissimo kind of offered a little bit of a check swing. Didn't even seem close to going around, but some of the fans are a little bit upset that on the appeal it was called a ball. Now he'll ground one to the shortstop, Camacho. Camacho's got it. He'll throw over to the first. And out number 2 is acquired quite easily. That'll bring up Josh Rago, the designated hitter, again for the second time tonight. Rago grounded out in his first at-bat. He'll be looking to do something a little more here as Horseman sets up once again. Now the pitch. High fastball for ball 1. So if this is the level of competition we're going to be seeing all weekend, I got to tell you, folks, I'm excited. This is certainly the best contest. Well, I should say the best contest so far through 3 2/3 innings that we have seen between the Colts and any of their opponents. Almost, I'd say, aside from the game last night, which was only decided by 2 runs. It's been pretty much a blowout in all the rest. Even last night, the final score was 11-9. So a lot of high-scoring games, a lot of blowouts that we've seen. This one seems to be exactly the opposite. Very low-scoring game. Well, actually, I should say a no-scoring game so far. The count's 2-2. Torrego, here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted out into left-right field, Harrison's going to come in and make the catch for out number 3. So Horseman gets out of it once again. It's going to be Kyle Norton coming up to the plate when we come back from the break.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. We've got Kyle Norton coming up to the plate for the second time tonight. He popped out in his first at-bat. He'll be facing Evan Bilter once again. Bilter has yet to give up a hit to this Colt 45's offense. Did a great job of shutting them down so far. Let's see if he keeps it going in this inning. The first pitch, here it comes, in the dirt, fastball, ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count to start off Norton. Bilter gets his sign, now sets up, here's the pitch. That's a strike and a fastball that'll catch the outside corner for strike one. You know, folks, you know when you just can't talk sometimes? When your brain just seems to die in the middle of a sentence. Anyway, here's the 1-1 pitch. That's going to be a high fastball for ball two. It'll be a 2-1 count to Kyle Norton. And here comes the delivery. That one's in the dirt, but draws a swing from Norton. I don't know what he was thinking. Wasn't even off-speed pitch. It was a fastball that bounced right off a home plate. Norton, however, chased after it. He definitely wanted something there. And the count will move to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Here comes the delivery. Swung on and missed again. Pops out of the glove of Martinez, but he'll quickly tag Norton as Norton walks back on over to the dugout. So that's going to be Bilter's first strikeout of the game and his first out of the inning. As Bryce Tweed comes up to the plate. He is the only Colt 45 to reach base so far. He drew a walk in the first inning. Bilter now setting up. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, ball one. Now, this is probably, I'd say this is the first maybe elite-level pitcher that Tweed or any of the Colt 45s have faced this season, as he delivers another fastball that draws a swing and a miss from Bryce Tweed. They've seen some good pitchers, I'll say, but Bilter so far through 3 1/3 has been pitching at what I must call an elite level. Now Bilter looking down takes his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the first baseman, Bellissimo. He'll run it in himself for out number 2. So 2 down just like that for the Colts. They sure have been able to get the bat on the ball so far here, having just 1 strikeout that came from Norton just a couple at-bats ago. But they just can't seem to get anything into the gap so far, as Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman, is going to come up for the second time. He also grounded out in his first at-bat. Now Bilter will spike one into the dirt. Martinez blocks it. I mean, no runners on, so the block wasn't too meaningful, but regardless, it'll be a 1-0 count. Now the pitch. Inside fastball, it'll catch the zone for strike one. So quickly, the count becomes 1-1. We've got two outs and none on here in the bottom of the fourth inning. And now the pitch, it's going to be fouled back into the net by Reginato. That was an outside fastball that Reginato really went out to go get. And he's not able to do much with it, just taps it back on into the net. So now the count will turn to a ball and two strikes as Reginato fights to stay alive. Here comes the 1-2 delivery. In the dirt, Reginato holds off. It'll be two balls and two strikes now with two outs. Reginato taking a deep breath before stepping back into the box. Now he's trying to relax his hands a little bit. The 2-2 pitch, here it comes. Swung on and bounced to the shortstop, Castrillo. He'll fire to first. And they got him. So, another three quick outs here for the Kings. Colts fail to get their first hit of the game, actually. And just like that, we'll head into the top of the fifth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing. And we'll see you in the top of the fifth.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Cinerama presents Bruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibitions. Bruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
All right, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings, brought to you by North Valley Distributing. It's going to be RJ Soria. He's got one of the two hits in this ballgame for the Kings already. It was a line drive single over the head of Blake Tweed in left field. Let's see if he can do something like that again. Worsman now sets up and delivers. Inside fastball, it'll miss the zone for ball one. Horseman now, still working quickly. Here's the pitch. It's going to be grounded weakly to the first baseman, Norton, who's going to toss it to Horseman covering first for out number one. So RJ Soria is put away, and that'll bring up the catcher, Gavin Martinez, who struck out in his first at-bat. He'll be looking to do something a little more productive here as he faces Horseman for the second time. We've got one out in the top of the fifth here. Both teams have yet to score. And now the pitch. Swung on and driven foul over to the left side. The count is 0-1 as Martinez steps back into the box. The pitch now. Swung on, this time lifted into shallow left field. It'll fall over Reginato's head for a base hit. And Martinez is on with a bloop single.
Now up to bat number 10, Logan Carter.
That was, well, I got to say, just kind of a lucky hit. I mean, there was no power behind it. It was just lifted into very shallow left field. The third baseman, Reginato, gave chase, but it just plopped right in over his head. He didn't have much of a chance at it. So it'll be Logan Carter who popped out in the second inning. Here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled foul over to the right side. There was some power behind that swing, but couldn't quite keep it fair. So he'll be looking at a quick 0-1 count. We've got one out here and a runner on first. The Kings looking to score their first runs of the game. Forsman shakes off a sign, now shakes off another. He'll take this one, though. Sets up. Here's the delivery. Curveball, it'll miss high for ball one. So a ball and a strike now to the left fielder, Carter. Carter's going to kick around some dirt before stepping back into the box. Forsman coming set now. Here's the pitch. Low, ball two. So Horseman not paying much attention to that runner Martinez on first. He hasn't even seemed to give him much more than a glance so far. Martinez taking a pretty standard lead off of first. Doesn't look like he has any intention of stealing. This time he kind of pauses on the delivery of Horseman, and Mendoza kind of faked a back pick attempt. Just kind of lunge at him a little bit to try to scare him. It'll be a 3-1 count to Logan Carter. And the pitch. Swung on. Fouled deep, deep, deep into the parking lot over at the right side. And I got to tell you, folks, no car is safe out in that parking lot. There have been many, many, many foul balls out there. And that one reached even the cars that were way far out that you might think have no chance at being hit. Now the 3-2 pitch is driven into right field. A diving attempt from Harrison. It's going to drop out of his glove, though. Now he'll get it in. It looks like Carter is going to stay at first, but Martinez will head on over to third. And just like that, with one out, the Kings are threatening here in the top of the fifth. A double play is really what Horseman is looking for. Man, that was a solid line drive out to right field. Harrison made a great attempt at it, laying out, having full extension with that glove, but couldn't hold on as he hit the ground. Now the pitch to Vina, the second baseman. It's going to be low for ball one. Vina grounded out in his first at-bat. And now has a chance for an RBI. Anything in the air to the outfield would do it. Here's the pitch. And that's going to be exactly what they were looking for. Harrison coming in. He's going to make a throw to home. There will be a play at the plate. Not in time. Carter scores. That was a very close play. Carter barely beat that ball home. Not a phenomenal throw from Harrison. It was definitely on target, but it took two or three bounces before it made it to the catcher Mendoza. Not a whole lot of power behind it. So now with two outs, the runner on first will stay. So it'll be one on, two outs, bringing up Miles in that one spot. Runner's going to go early. Now Horseman stepping off and throwing to first, that was a mistake. The runner, Carter, was already halfway to second. And, well, Horseman should have just stepped off and thrown to second. Instead, he threw to first, and then Norton had to hold on to it because there was really going to be no play at second base. So now, Kings threatening again. The score is 1-0 here. As Horseman sets up, here's the pitch. That's a fastball. It'll catch the outside corner for strike one. Miles had a single in his last at-bat. He'll be looking for a second one here. Single could potentially score a run. Now the pitch. Swung on, grounded to the third baseman, Reginato, who will fire on over to first. A little high, but Norton makes the grab. So out number three. Colts give up a run. They'll be looking to get it back as they head back into the dugout and grab the bats. Going to be the bottom of the fifth when we come back, folks. We'll see you after the break.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field. The Kings got it done in the last inning. They were able to put across a run for the first time here in the game against Isaac Horsman. The score is 1-0. Colts looking to get that run back here. It'll be Trey Harrison up to bat. He popped out in his first at bat. He'll be looking to have a little more production here. Evan Bilter comes back out on the mound. That's pretty expected. He has yet to give up a base hit through four innings. Harrison on defense last inning made a noble attempt to dive for a line drive out in right field. Unfortunately, it popped out of his glove as he hit the ground. That in large part contributed to the run scored by the Kings. Now he'll be looking to get that run back as he pops one out into center field for a base hit. And just like that, the Colts have their first base hit of the ball game from Trey Harrison. And with no outs, it'll be Blake Tweed up to bat.
Now batting number seven.
Tweed grounded out in his first at bat. And he'll look to do a job here for the Colt 45s. He takes a deep breath before stepping in. We've seen Bilter pitch with a runner on only in the first inning when he gave up that walk to Tweed's brother, Bryce. But since then, he's been pretty much perfect until now. Harrison leading off of first. It's a pretty modest one. The pitch from Bilter. Swung on and grounded sharply. And it's going to be past the glove of Castrillo for another base hit. Castrillo laid out for that one, but couldn't quite reach it. And just like that, the Colts have their second base hit. So they quickly have come up with an answer to the stellar pitching from Evan Bilter. And with no outs, we've got runners on first and second. And we'll see Derek Raid, the designated hitter, come up to bat. He grounded out in his first one, but a base hit here could tie up the game. We'll see if Ray can get it done. Bilter now taking his time, getting in that sign. He'll come set now. Here's the pitch. A little low. Fastball. It'll miss the zone for ball one. Now, I think it's reasonable to say that Bilter looks a little less comfortable out of the stretch. I mean, I guess that's to be expected from any pitcher, but a little extra uncomfortable here from Bilter. And now the catcher Martinez is going to throw it wide of the glove of Bilter, and nothing will happen. The runners will stay at their bags, but that's never a good look. Anyways, Bilter now getting a sign and setting up once again. He'll look back at second and now deliver. Low, once again, it'll be a quick 3-0 count. And now Bilter with no outs is on the verge of loading the bases. And with that, it looks like manager Travis Wade is going to call time and head on out to the mound to have a little bit of a chat. The Kings here in a bit of danger. The Colt 45s are certainly threatening with no outs. A double play is really what the Kings need at this point. But with a 3-0 count to Ray, it's not looking so good for them. Interesting how this fifth inning has seen both of these offenses kind of come alive against two pitchers who seemed to be, well, to be unbeatable for the through the first four innings. Now Bilter will look down and take his sign. He'll come set. It'll be interesting to see if Ray takes a hack at something he likes. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the outside corner. Ray watches it go by for strike one. Now, we've got one particular fan in the stands tonight who I am just hearing after almost every close call. He is not happy with the umpires. Same guy was here last night, I think, because I was hearing that chirping a lot last night as well. That one's going to be way outside for ball four. And just like that, bases are juiced for the catcher, Mateo Mendoza. So Mendoza striding up to the plate. He's got a chance to do some real damage here with no outs. The Kings are in a tough spot, and manager Travis Wade is going to head back out onto the mound, and it looks like they're going to make the call to the bullpen. It'll be a new pitcher here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Interesting move. Bilter was pretty lights out, but has struggled here in the bottom of the fifth. So he'll now take a seat. Unable to get that W tonight, but best he'll hope for is a no decision. We'll see who comes out onto the mound. I can't quite see who it is from here. So now we simply wait. Well, while he warms up, we'll go to a short 30-second break, folks.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Signorama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibitions. Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
And we're back.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's still the bottom of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field. The Colt 45s are threatening. They've got the bases loaded with no outs. We're looking at a new pitcher coming in here for the West Coast Kings. Evan Bilter was lights out through four innings, failed to give up a hit, but then gave up two quick singles here in the bottom of the fifth, and then a walk to get those bases loaded without drawing an out. So now as our new pitcher finishes warming up, the position players will head on out. It's going to be number 21, Ben Perinetti, on the mound now for the Kings. And he will face Mateo Mendoza. Mendoza popped out in his first at-bat, but now has a chance to do some serious damage for the Colts. They're down 1-0, remember, off of a couple of hits that happened in the top of the inning. They can get it back here, though. It's going to be a first-pitch fastball inside for ball one to start off Mendoza. Now, Perinetti, taking a deep breath before coming set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Fastball just kind of blew it right by Mendoza for strike one. And, well, I said it in the last at-bat, but it's even more true here. The Kings really hoping for a double play. Their corner infielders are playing in as Mendoza fouls one off into the right side of the net. Corner infielders are playing in, hoping to maybe get that force out at home, save a run. Either way, a double play is if they aren't able to save that run, however, a double play is really the best case scenario for them, even if they have to allow that score to be tied up. Now it's going to be a curveball in the dirt for ball two. Some good discipline there from Mendoza as he watches a good-looking curveball go by. Perinetti's got to be feeling the pressure here. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. Perinetti feeling the pressure. But with the bases loaded and no outs, that is never a good situation for a pitcher to come into. Never a low-stress situation for a pitcher to come into. That pitch is going to be in the dirt, and it's going to kind of dribble a couple feet behind Martinez. The runners will stay, however. Now Mendoza stepping back in. The count is 2-0. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt again. Nice block there from Martinez. And actually, I'm sorry, the count was 3-1, so that'll be a walk. And Perinetti cannot get it done for the Kings. He walks in a run. Now it looks like there's going to be a little bit of a contest here from Travis Wade, the manager of the Kings. He is having a little bit of a conversation with the umpire, chatting about something. Now he'll head on back. It's going to be Jonathan Kumai coming up to the plate. He popped out as well in his first at-bat. Now has a chance to give the Colt 45s a lead. Perinetti just trying to find the strike zone at this point. And seems like it's getting close for the Kings. They're on the verge of falling apart here. Let's see if they can hold it together. We've got bases loaded. Still no outs. The score is tied at one run apiece here in the bottom of the fifth. This has definitely been the longest inning by far through this point of the game. Here's the pitch. It's going to be low, almost in the dirt for ball one, as Perinetti struggles to find that strike zone. Perinetti now looking down and taking his sign. Not two big leads from the runners at each base. That one's going to be in the dirt. Another nice block from Martinez. And I got to say, I'm not sure if bringing in Perinetti was the right choice by manager Travis Wade, because he just has not been able to get control of his arm so far. He is struggling to hit that strike zone. And you got to wonder if maybe it would have just been a better decision. Oh, there's a deep drive from Kumai. That one's going back to the wall. And caught at the wall. No, it's going to come off the wall. And now the left fielder chasing after it. It'll be a stand-up single for Kumai. Oh, my. Oh my. Two runs will score. I'm sorry. No, just one.
Boy, Trevor, harder work.
I'm having a little trouble tracking what's going on here. Two runs will indeed score. I'm sorry. The score will become 3-1. Let me try to give you a little bit better description of what just happened. It was a long fly ball. I thought that one was gone off the bat. It's the left fielder gave chase, but it went over his head, bounced off the wall, and, well, went on the ground about 15 feet away from that left fielder. It's Logan Carter out there who had to chase after it. Still, though, at first, the base runner Mendoza thought it was caught, I believe, so he kind of held up there before heading to second, which ultimately limited Kumai to just a single. Now it's going to be Camacho up to bat, and he's going to watch a fastball go by for the second time. It'll be ball two, actually. And now you got to know that Bilter is in that dugout hanging his head over the fact that he could not get a lot of support from this relief pitcher, Ben Pernetti. Pernetti walked in a run and has now allowed a hit to score two more. And all of those runs are going to go on the record of Bilter. And I know for a fact that that manager, Travis Wade, is definitely regretting that decision to pull Bilter and bring in Pernetti here. Now the pitch, it's going to be a ground ball to the second baseman. He fields it cleanly and throws on over to first. A run will score. We had runners on second and third, and Kumai will move on over to third. So the score will become 4-1, but the Kings at least get an out, I suppose, so a little bit of a win there. And now Wade is going to make another trip out to the mound to talk to Pernetti. Kings bullpen active once again. And, it looks like Pernetti's coming out. So for the second time in this inning, we're going to go to the bullpen. Pernetti hangs his head as he walks back into the dugout. Tough performance for him here tonight as coming in with the bases loaded. He allows four runs to score. Three of those are going to go on the record of the starter, Bilter, however. So it'll be a new pitcher. And, I can't quite see who it'll be. Looks like, let me check. Looks like it's going to be number 8, Jack Harris, for the Kings. And we'll see if he can maybe have a little bit more success than the last two. We'll go to a quick 30-second break while he warms up.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save up to $1,000 on Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Inning. It's Jack Harris coming in to pitch for the Kings. Remember, Ben Pernetti came in to relieve Evan Bilter after Bilter loaded up the bases with no outs. Pernetti walked in a run and then gave up a long single that scored two. So he allowed four to score in this bottom the fifth inning before even drawing an out. But it'll be Harris now, seeing if he can get the job done for the Kings. We've still got a runner on third. We're going to see Kyle Norton come up to bat. He's 0-for-2 tonight, popped out in a strikeout as well. And he'll face Jack Harris. It'll be Harris's first batter. And we'll see if the Kings can come back and shut down this Colt 45's offense as they did earlier in the game. The Colts have jumped out to a solid 3-run lead, however, here, and they're close to making it 4. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a high fastball. It'll miss for ball 1. Well, it sure was a close one coming into this inning. The score was 1-0 in favor of the Kings, but, it seems to kind of have fallen apart for him. Now Norton's going to swing through a changeup for strike 1. The count will even up at 1 apiece. Not at all what the Kings were hoping for this inning, but it's what they've got to work with now. So that's going to be a fastball inside. It'll miss for ball 2. Martinez once again fails to hold on to that pitch. It'll be a 2-1 count as Harris sets up. Here comes the delivery. High over the head of Martinez, but it'll bounce off the wall behind home plate and come right back into his glove. So Kumai's going to hold up at third. The count moves to 3-3 as Harris fails to gain control in this first at-bat. Let's see if he can recover here. The 3-1 delivery. Here it comes. Swung on and driven into center field. Center fielder is going to make the catch. However, a run will score on the sack fly from Norton. So Norton does his job, drills one hard out into center field, and scores Kumai. So the bases are cleared. The score moves to 5-1 in favor of the Colts, and that'll bring up Bryce Tweed for the third time tonight. Tweed is 0-for-1. He's got a walk and a ground out tonight. And with two outs, he'd probably need something big to make any more difference here, but the damage is certainly done as the Kings have allowed 5 runs in this inning after shutting out the Colts through the first 4. Now, really kind of a shame here. It was quite the exciting ball game through 4 innings. The Kings did not give up a single hit until we got here to the bottom of the 5th as Harris spikes one in the dirt for ball 2. And now the level of baseball I'm seeing has just dropped significantly. It doesn't even look like the same team out there. The count is 2-0. Here's the pitch. High fastball. So 3 consecutive balls to Tweed. We'll see if he can draw his 2nd walk of the night. Got good discipline there in the box. Here comes the 3-0 pitch. High fastball again, and Tweed is indeed on with his 2nd walk. So that'll bring up Wyatt Reginato. Reginato has grounded out twice. He'll be looking to show some production here for the Colts. He's had a solid performance tonight at third base, making some real nice plays over there. Let's see if he can do something on offense here. Now the pitch from Harris. High fastball, ball 1. So that's the 5th consecutive ball thrown from Harris. He is really struggling to find control. And now I'm really wondering if the manager, Travis Wade, just wishes he had left Filter in. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Here's the throw from Martinez. It's going to be wide and not in time. And, well, folks, I won't lie to you. The performance from Martinez, aside from blocking the ball, he's done a good job blocking, but he hasn't really been able to hold on to much with his glove. And that throw, well, it was a very slow pop up. Well, now it looks like Reginato's going to ground one down the right field line. It'll bounce off the first baseman and go into right field. Now, Reginato heading for third. He'll get in there standing up. And that'll score another run. So, on the error from the first baseman, Bellissimo, a run scores for the Colts, and Wyatt Reginato is able to reach third base. And wow. That is all I can say is, wow. I am not sure what happened to this Kings team, but they have fallen apart. Now, I wasn't going to say that. They'd only given up 5. But now that they're in 6, I can say it. They have fallen apart. 6 runs in an inning after not allowing a hit through 4 is just, well, it's insane to me. Now Harris is going to face Harrison, and that's going to be a base hit up the middle. So Reginato will score from 3rd. Harrison has his 2nd base hit of the night. And now
batting, 7.
The Kings have further fallen apart. We're going to see Blake Tweed come up to bat now for the 3rd time. He's 1-for-2. He's got a single and a ground out tonight. See what he does against Harris. Here comes the pitch. Back pick from Martinez at first, but Harrison's in there standing up. Harris is a pretty small guy. and he doesn't have a lot of velocity at all. And he's struggling with control now. So I got to say the Colts are just taking full advantage, as that one is going to hit Tweed in the back. And, it looks like the Kings' bullpen is active once again. Boy, you know, I feel a little bit of pity for this pitcher Harris right now. He's brought in with a tough situation, and he has not been able to perform well so far. He is simply struggling. The score is 7-1 here in the bottom of the fifth. Luckily in favor of the Colt 45s, but I suppose I jinxed it when I said that the Kings were playing at a more elite level than any of the other Colt 45s opponents, because they're not showing it now. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a fastball on that inside corner. It'll be called strike one to Derek Ray. Ray is 0-for-1. He's got a ground out and a walk tonight. Now Harris is going to come set. Here's the 0-1 pitch. High, ball one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now. Like I said, Harris just having a hard time controlling any of his pitches at this point, putting the strike zone altogether. Here it comes. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. So I do believe that this might be Harris's first two-strike count since he came into the game. I'll tell you, this game was chugging along quick through 4.5, and now in this 7-run fifth inning, it has slowed way down. Two outs, two strikes, and a ball for Derek Gray. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. So Derek Gray is put away as the Kings head back into the dugout. They gave up 7 in this inning, and they'll be looking to get a couple of those back. We'll see if Horseman can come back out and shut him down once again. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They're a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing. We'll see you in the top of the sixth.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field. This matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Well, I got to say, the Colt 45s broke it open in the last inning, scoring 7 runs off of their first hits of the game in the bottom of the fifth. Now they'll be looking to defend that 7-1 lead. The Kings hoping to get a couple of those runs back, but it's definitely a very low-pressure situation for the pitcher Horseman coming in. Horseman has given up just 1 run through 5 innings pitched so far. He's having a pretty stellar outing. And we'll see if he can continue to do so as he faces Nico Castrillo for the third time tonight. Castrillo has grounded out and struck out in his first 2 at-bats. He'll be looking for his first hit of the ballgame as the Kings will attempt to mount a hefty comeback here. Now Horseman coming set. He's going to shake off a sign. Now another. He'll take this one. Here comes the first pitch of the inning. Strike one called. It was a fastball in the outside corner. And quickly it becomes 0-1 for Nico Castrillo, the shortstop. Here's the next. That one will miss the outside corner. It was a curveball that time. Trying to get Castrillo to chase. Doesn't work. It'll be a 1-1 count now. Now the pitch. Low, ball two. Castrillo, he has been putting in some work in the field. He's had to chase after a couple of pop flies in shallow left that he's made the catch on every single one of them he's chased. Now he'll watch another fastball go by. A late strike call from the umpire. That one was a little up and away, but nonetheless called a strike. So it'll be a 2-2 count now as Forsman sets up. Now we're going to have time called as Castrillo steps out and now steps back in. Here's the pitch from Horseman. Swung on and tapped foul behind the plate. The count remained 2-2 as Castrillo is able to stay alive. So Horseman stepping back up onto the rubber. He's going to shake off another sign. Now he'll take this one. 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on and fouled into the right side of the net. And Castrillo lives once again to see another pitch. He's battling here, getting his money's worth out of Horseman. Horseman trying to end it here. Now the pitch. Swung on and driven into left field. The left fielder Tweed is going to take a few steps to his left and make the catch. Just like that, Horseman wins the battle, and Castrillo is put away. That'll bring up Noah Young, the right fielder. He's 0-2 tonight as well. He's got a strikeout and a deep lineout on the night. He'll be looking to get his first hit here. Horseman takes his sign, now delivers. Curveball, it's going to be in the dirt for ball one. Mendoza taking the much popularized stance here as a catcher of getting on one knee. It's really something you hadn't seen very often until it was popularized in the major leagues a couple years back by a lot of pro catchers who took that approach. I believe the intention is to just take pressure off of the knees. I was a catcher myself in high school, and I'll tell you, that all that squatting, you know, I was always in the squat. I rarely was down on one knee, but all that squatting took a toll on my knees. I'm having knee problems left and right now at just 19 years old. Anyways, the count is 2-2 to Noah Young, who swings through a fastball. He'll step in now, trying to stay alive. Here's the pitch from Horseman. And it's going to go off the glove of Mendoza for ball three. The count will move full. Mendoza looks at Horseman and gives him a little tap on the chest protector. Takes the blame for that one. It was close. If Mendoza had gotten hold of it and framed it up, could have been called strike three. Here's the pitch now. Swung on and grounded to Kumai. Kumai stays down and gets it. Now throws to first. Out number two. So Horseman continues to get it done. He's got two outs here as we go to Matteo Bellissimo. Bellissimo at first last inning had a costly error. The ground ball bounced right off of him and went foul. Well, past the foul line, it was a fair ball that allowed a run to score and continued the inning with two outs for the Kings. Now he's going to drive one into left field. Tweed running over. It's going to be, we're waiting on the ruling, a foul ball. Maybe? No, it was caught. It was caught. Tweed made the catch. Everyone was staring. It was a few seconds after Tweed caught the ball that the call was made. It's out there in a blind spot from the booth. I couldn't see Tweed where he was, and the ball went out of sight, so I wasn't sure if that was over the fence, foul, or in the glove, and it turned out to be in the glove. So the score remains 7-1. We'll head into the bottom of the sixth inning as the Colts look to extend that six-run lead. It's going to be Harris back out on the mound, and we'll see you after the break, folks.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
And we're back.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field. We've got Mateo Mendoza, the catcher, coming up for the third time tonight. He has walked and popped out, so he'll be looking for his first hit of the ball game. The Colts lead the West Coast Kings 7-1. If you remember that costly fifth inning in which the Colts were able to score their first hits of the ball game, and also seven runs after being shut out in the first four innings. It's going to be Harris back out on the mound. He struggled last inning. Let's see if he can get it together here. He's going to throw a first pitch fastball that'll be outside to Mendoza for ball one. Now the delivery once again is going to be swung on and lifted into shallow right field. It'll go foul. The first baseman, Bellissimo, is going to go back on it, and he'll reach out and make the catch. So Mendoza is put away with his second pop out of the night. That'll bring up Jonathan Kumai to the plate. If you remember, in that fifth inning, Kumai contributed greatly to that seven-run inning. He had a long, deep fly ball. Looks like it could have been a home run to me with the bases loaded. However, it went off the wall and actually resulted in just a single, as I believe it was Mendoza held up at first, believing that the ball had been caught. Either way, it scored two runs, so Kumai now looking to do some more damage for the Colts. He's got no one on, and just one out, though. Now facing two strikes, he'll foul one off to the right side into the stands. The count remain, no balls and two strikes. Harris here seems to have gained a little bit of control over his pitches. He really struggled in that fifth inning. Threw a lot of balls. This time he's been able to find the strike zone much better. Now he'll throw one, and that one's going to be popped almost into the same spot as the last time. And Bellissimo, this time running back, is unable to reach out and make the catch. So Kumai is given a little gift there as he stays alive to see another pitch. The count, still no balls and two strikes. We've got one out here in the bottom of the sixth inning. The score, like I've said many times before, seven runs for the Colts. One for the Kings. Here's the pitch. Into the dirt. Ball one. Kumai doing a good job of battling. He's facing a 1-2 count, but has seen five pitches in this at-bat already. He's working that Harris pitch count quite well so far. Now the 1-2. Here it comes. This one's going to be lifted again off to the right side. It's in foul territory, but that right fielder, Noah Young, is going to make the catch. So it'll be two away now in the bottom of the sixth, bringing up once again Arif Camacho to the plate. Now Camacho, he was hot coming into this game, having seven runs in his last two games at the plate. Seven hits in his last two games at the plate. He's been pretty quiet tonight, however. He's got three ground outs. He does have an RBI on one of those ground outs, but Still looking for his first hit of the night. Let's see if he can get it. 1-0, here's the delivery. Swung on and lifted into deep right center field. That one's going to bounce and hit the wall. Camacho headed for two. Now he's going for three. He'll look to make it a triple, and the cutoff is missed by the Kings. So Camacho's in there with a triple, and he finds that first hit of the night and finds it in a big way for the Colt 45s here in the bottom of the sixth.
Now batting number 25, Kyle.
Boy, oh boy. So that's going to be at least eight hits now in three games for Arive Camacho. And we'll now see Kyle Norton, who also is looking for his first hit of the night. He's got a pop out, strikeout, as well as a sac fly here tonight. As he grounds one up the middle, it's going to be fielded by the second baseman. No, dropped now. So let's see if they rule that a base hit or an error. It was a slow ground ball. I think Norton probably would have been able to beat it out either way.
Number 20,
no error ruling on the scoreboard. So it looks like they're going to rule it an infield single for Kyle Norton. That one's also going to score Camacho from third, making the score 8-1 here in the bottom of the sixth. And the blunders continue for the West Coast Kings. It'll be Bryce Tweed looking for his first hit of the night. He's got a couple of walks as well as a ground out here, so he's 0-1. Runner goes early. Harris doesn't notice and throws. Norton had a free base, but Tweed swings and fouls it off. So Norton's forced to head back on over to first. Man, he got a great jump, and the lefty Harris just was paying no attention. All he had to do was look over to see that Norton was going, but he was zoned out, so he went into his delivery. Luckily for him, Tweed swung at that pitch and fouled it off, forcing Norton. Now Norton's going to lunge out, make a little fake move. This one's going to be lifted into deep right field. However, the right fielder, Young, is going to be under it and make the grab for out number three. So the Colts score one. They make that lead 7 runs here in the bottom of the sixth. As we head into the top of the seventh, Kings looking to get a few of those runs back. We'll see you after the break.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
All right, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the seventh inning. Colt 45s lead the West Coast Kings with a score of 8-1.
It's
going to be Isaac Horstman back out onto the field for the seventh consecutive inning. He's given up just one run through 6 innings so far. And we will see Mateo Bellissimo, the first baseman, coming up to the plate. You hear it in the background. Rick Bassetti's offering a little bit of trivia to this crowd here at Tiger Field, with a couple of tickets to Taste of Reading on the line. Now Bellissimo will step up to the plate. Here comes the pitch from Horstman. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Score 8-1 here in favor of the Reading Colt 45s. They really blew it open in the bottom of the fifth, scoring 7 runs. Now with 0-1 count, Horstman will shake off a couple of signs. Now he delivers. That one's going to be in the dirt for ball one. So a 1-1 count to start off Bellissimo. And, well, Bellissimo looking for his first hit of the night. He's struck out and grounded out so far. And now he'll watch a fastball go by for strike two. It'll be a 1-2 count as Horseman is just one strike away from delivering Bellissimo his second strikeout of the night. Here comes the pitch. Curveball, it's going to be bounced to the shortstop Camacho, who's got it and throws over to first for out number one. So Bellissimo fails to find his first hit of the night, and that'll bring up Josh Rago, the designated hitter. He'll also be looking for his first hit. He's got a ground out and a fly out on the night against Horseman. And with one out, he'll be looking to do some damage. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be high for ball one. And I'm sorry, it's actually going to not be Josh Rago. It's going to be A.C. Cabrera. And he gets hit in the head. That was a little scary. Horseman delivered a fastball that bounced off of the helmet of Cabrera. I thought it was still Josh Rago, but A.C. Cabrera was put in his place at the DH spot, and now he's going to head over to first base off of a freebie. So that could have been bad, but luckily Cabrera shows no signs of injury. So it looks like, there's going to be a substitution for R.J. Soria as well. Here's the pitch. Strike one. And I believe that is going to be, if I can see a number, holy cow. I cannot. I'll tell you in a minute who it is, folks. He's a lefty. I can't see the back of the jersey. Looks like number 87, but I'm not showing an 87 here on the roster tonight. Here's the pitch. Strike one. Sorry, strike two. It's an 0-2 count now to Soraya's replacement. Now setting up his Horseman. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply over to the left side. And, well, I'm a little confused here. It looks to be, oh boy, I am not sure what is going on here. So it was supposed to be A.C. Cabrera in the spot of, well, whoever's up just struck out. That's all I can tell you. I'm sorry, it's two outs. I think there might have been a little bit of a confusion in the lineup because it was supposed to be A.C. Cabrera in the spot of Josh Rago, and then it was should have been R.J. Soria, but that was not R.J. Soria. It looked like Gavin Martinez, and now Logan Carter is going to come up to bat. So I do believe we had a little bit of a mishap in the order. Because, well, there's definitely something going on. I don't think it was me who was messed up, but it's definitely possible. In that case, it would be Josh Rago. Josh Rago is still in the game, and it would be Cabrera in for Soria, the third baseman. Now it's going to be lifted high and deep into right center field by Carter and over the wall for a ground rule double. So it looks like now number 54, Soria, is going to have to go back over to third. Or is that number 94? A.C. Cabrera. Oh, boy, am I confused. Over the PA, they announced it as A.C. Cabrera. But that might actually have just been R.J. Soria. There might have been no substitutions made, and I might just be going absolutely insane here in the bottom of the seventh. Sorry, top of the seventh. Wow. Anyways, we've got runners on second and third. It's going to be Mike Vina up to bat, and he is going to watch one go by in the dirt for ball one. I'm sorry, folks. I just spent about three batters trying to figure out what was going on there with the lineup. But anyways, it's Mike Vina up to bat, and he'll watch another fastball go by low for ball two. So Logan Carter with the long ground rule double makes it so now with two outs, the Kings are threatening. We'll see if Vina can get something across for him here. Now he's going to foul one off to the right side. Vina is responsible for the only run of the game here for the Kings. He had a sac fly earlier in the top of the fifth. Now, Cummings set his horseman. Now he delivers. That one's going to be grounded up the middle. Camacho's got it. He fires to first. Out number three. So, Horseman gets it done. Holds the Kings, who strand runners on first and second. And as I try to figure out this lineup, we will head to break and go into the bottom of the seventh inning.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Welcome back to the bottom of the seventh inning. The Kings threatened in the top of the inning, but failed to get any runs across. Now the Colts will look to extend that seven-run lead. It's going to be, I believe, Wyatt Reginato up to bat. He is 0 for 3 on the night. He's got a couple of ground outs and reached on an error. So he's looking to do some damage, get some hits or get a hit onto the stat sheet. Looks like it's going to be Harris back out on the mound. No, I'm sorry. That's a new pitcher for us out on the mound for the Kings. Looks like it's going to be Dufresne, maybe. I can't see a number. Here's the pitch. Curveball, strike one. So whoever it is, he's got a nice curveball. That one dropped right into the zone for a strike. The count is 1-1 to Reginato. Now the pitch. Another curveball. This time it's going to miss outside for ball two. So it'll be a 2-2 count to Reginato. Sorry, a 2-1 count to Reginato. Now the pitcher sets up, takes his sign, and here comes the delivery. That one's going to be low. Solid velocity on the fastball, but misses his spot there, so it'll be a 3-1 count to Reginato. Reginato kicks around some dirt before stepping back in the box. Here's the 3-1 count. That one will not catch the outside corner, and Reginato is on with a walk. So looking down now, looks like it's going to be number 88, Caden Peterson, on the mound. So finally got you a name there. We've got Trey Harrison coming up to bat for the fourth time tonight. He has been pretty active here. He's got a couple of singles as well as a pop out. So he's 2-for-3, looking for his third hit of the night. He's also got an RBI in there. And he's going to watch one go high for ball one from Peterson. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be low this time. It'll be a 2-0 count to Harrison. Now, I got to tell you, folks, as this game goes on, and I found this to be a trend, as the game goes on, as the time gets later and later, I seem to trip over my words more, and I seem to be able to pick up these plays less. So bear with me here as the count moves to 3-0 on a high fastball that misses the strike zone from Peterson. Harrison dealing with a 3-0 count. Let's see what he does here. He'll take that one for ball four. No, strike one. Late call there from the home plate umpire. Apparently it caught that upper outside corner. Now the catcher, Martinez, is going to call time and head out to talk to Peterson. Peterson already seeming to be struggling with his control, as we have seen from several of these Kings pitchers tonight. He has walked one and is now just a ball away from walking another. Peterson now looking down and taking a sign as Martinez is back behind the plate. Comes set. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Swing and a miss. Throw down is going to be way high. Martinez, I don't know if that one just got away from him. There was no power behind that throw. It was just a rainbow that went over the head of the shortstop covering and into the glove of the second baseman who was backing up. So now with a runner on second and no outs, the count is full to Harrison, who swings and misses for strike three. So Peterson is able to get a strikeout and put up an out on that scoreboard here in the bottom of the seventh, but he's still dealing with a runner on second as Blake Tweed comes up to the plate. Tweed is 1-for-2 on the night. He's got a single and a ground out, was also hit by a pitch in his last at-bat. So now he'll see if he can get another run across for the Colt 45s. Peterson looking down and taking his sign. He'll come set now. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike one. So now, with one out and a runner on second, Tweed will be looking at an 0-1 count. We've got Derek Ray on deck. Ray has been pretty quiet thus far. He's got a walk, but ground out and a strikeout as well. He's looking for his first hit of the game. Now Peterson looks down and slowly takes his sign. Now he comes set. Time is called now by Tweed, who's going to step out and readjust his batting gloves before taking a deep breath and stepping back in. I got to say, the Tweed brothers have a very similar approach at the plate as Tweed watches a curveball catch the inside corner for strike two. But the Tweed brothers, they look almost identical. Blake Tweed, a righty, and Bryce Tweed, a lefty, is seemingly their only difference. I don't know if you could tell the two apart if it wasn't for that when they come up to the plate. Now the 0-2 pitch, here it comes. Swung on and driven into left field. That's going to be caught in the air by the left fielder. Sorry, the left fielder Carter. And thrown in The runner at second will stay. So an unproductive out there, but a nice piece of contact from Blake Tweed, who heads back on into the dugout. That'll bring up Derek Ray, the designated hitter. Like I said earlier, he is 0-for-2 on the night with a walk, looking for his first hit of the game. With two outs and a runner on second, he's got a chance for an RBI here as well. The 0-0 pitch, here it comes. Curveball, it's going to hit him. So Ray gets a free base, heads on over to first. Not an entirely bad scenario there for the Kings. They fill up a base with two outs, so they've got a force out now at every bag except for home plate. And that'll bring up Mateo Mendoza, who is also 0-for-2 tonight with a couple of pop outs. So no damage really done on the hit by pitch to Derek Ray. Now here comes the 0-0 to Mendoza, who fouls it off into the parking lot.
Kids, no running out of the parking lot, kids. Don't run out of the parking lot, please.
And our PA announcer has to give a little warning to the kids who are trying to sprint out into the parking lot. There is a rule against that here at Tiger Field. No running into the parking lot after foul balls. They make that clear before every game. They really don't want you doing it here. And Mendoza's going to take a high fastball now for ball one. So that foul ball will go unretrieved for the moment. Mendoza now looking at a 1-1 count. He's got runners on first and second. Has a chance to do some damage here with two outs. Again, looking for his first hit of the night. Here comes the pitch. That looked like a strike. I didn't see a call from the umpire. I'm not sure if that was a ball or a strike. It sure looked like a strike. It was a curveball that seemed to fall right into the zone. But I didn't hear nor see anything from the umpire, and it looks like it's going to be a 2-1 count, actually. So Mendoza avoids that one. Now he's going to be hit in the elbow. And just like that, that is two consecutive hit batters by Caden Peterson as Mendoza rubs that elbow up. He's in a little bit of pain and heads to first.
Number four.
So base is loaded now with two outs as Jonathan Kumar comes up to the plate. This is we've got a little bit of deja vu here. Remember back in the fifth inning with the bases loaded, Kumai had that big hit that scored two runs. Now he'll ground one up the middle. Second baseman fields it cleanly and throws over to first for out number three. So Colts will not extend the lead as the Kings get out of a little bit of a bases loaded jam there. So remember, score here is 8-1 at Tiger Field as we head into the top of the eighth inning. We'll see you after the break, folks.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
To the top of the eighth inning, it appears to be a new pitcher out on the mound for the Colt 45s. I don't believe that's Isaac Horstman out there still. I am trying to find out who it is at the moment. Score is 8-1 here in the top of the eighth. The Kings are on their last six outs as they try to mount a seven-run comeback here at Tiger Field. It was really a close game up until the fifth inning, in which the Colt 45s scored 7 runs. So it looks like it's going to be Colton Wolfing out on the mound to relieve Horstman. Horstman had a stellar performance, and barring any sort of major comeback, he'll get the win tonight. He went 7, giving up just 1 run. That's going to be good for the stat book. Against a pretty proficient Kings offense as well. So it's going to be a different batter here. Looks like Ngoli. He's going to be hitting in place of Mike Vina. And he's going to ground that one just foul to the right side. No, I apologize. He's going to be coming in for Luke Miles, the center fielder. So it's number 48 in Bully. There's no other name listed for him here on the roster, just N. So I'll assume he goes by N, Ngoli, as he takes one in the dirt for ball one. Here comes the pitch from Wolfing. That one's going to be a high fastball, ball two. So it'll be a 2-1 count to Ngoli as Wolfing will have to battle back now. Now it's going to be another fastball outside this time for ball three. So a 3-1 count, and now Wolfing's really got to battle back. No outs here. Goalie's leading off the inning. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, ball four. So Colton Wolfing walks the first batter he sees, and that'll bring up the shortstop, Nico Castrillo, who is looking for his first hit of the night. He's got a ground out, a strikeout, and a flyout. Wolfing hoping to recover after giving up that walk. Again, we've got no outs here in the top of the eighth. Castrillo steps up. Here comes the pitch. Strike one, fastball down the middle. So an 0-1 count now to Castrillo as Wolfing looks over at that runner on first. Now he'll deliver. Does not quite catch the outside corner. There's a fastball for ball one, so the count is evened up at one apiece. Now Wolfing sets up, takes a look over at that runner on first, now delivers. Foul ball into the parking lot once again. Won't hit any cars, luckily, this time. But the count will move on over to 1-2. So Castrillo got to battle back a little bit here. Wolfing taking the lead in the count this time. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, ball two. Nice block there from the catcher Mendoza. Holds Ngoli on first. And now Wolfing will look down and take his sign as the count is evened up at 2-2. Sets up. Ngoli takes an extra step on that lead. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. No swing. So it'll be a full count now. Wolfing had jumped ahead early, but now falls behind a little bit again. Now he'll once again take a look over at first. Runner goes. Swing and a miss. It's going to be dropped by Mendoza, however, so there will be no throw. And Ngoli is in there with a stolen base. So now the Colts dealing with one out and a runner on second as it'll be a new hitter in place of Noah Young. It's going to be Seth Gwynn, number 98, coming up to bat in place of the right fielder Young. He's going to foul one into his foot for strike one. So Gwynn off to a rough start here in his first at-bat of the night. Base hit, could score a run, potentially give the Kings their second run of the night. Wolfing sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into deep left center field. Tweed is going over and gets under it, makes the catch. Runner will try to head on over to third, and Tweed's going to miss his cut. So goalie slides into third safely. So not a completely unproductive out there for Gwynn, who gets a sack fly. Not really what he wanted. That ball sure looks like it was going far off the bat. However, he got under it quite a bit and lifted it much higher than I thought as well, as Tweed is able to move over and make the catch pretty easily. Still, however, moves the runner over. So we've got Gwynn on third as Mateo Bellissimo comes up to bat once again. He's 0 for 3 tonight. Strikeout and a couple of ground outs. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded softly to Camacho. Camacho's got it. Throws over to first. Out number 3. So Mateo Bellissimo now 0 for 4. Ends the inning. And the Colt 45s will head back in and grab the bats, presumably for the last time tonight. We're going into the bottom of the 8th, folks, after the break.
The elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country, many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Acting as gatekeepers, we can be watchful for signs of risk, helping our elders be safe, protected, and well. Join Shining Care June 3rd through June 11th for Purple City Week as we paint the town purple to show we're a caring community. On June 11th, come to the free Purple City Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Put on some purple and join in the fun for a great cause. Visit fun exhibits and get useful resources. Enjoy food, drinks, singers, dancers, aerial silks, treasure hunt, and raffles. Join the Purple Light Ceremony across the bridge as it lights up purple to show our care and support. June 11th, 6 to 9 p.m. For more info, visit shiningcare.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the 8th inning. Colts are up to bat, like I said earlier, presumably for the last time in this game. It's going to be Blake Tweed up to bat for the 5th time tonight. Sorry. Yes, Blake Tweed up for the 5th time tonight. He is... No, I was wrong. It's Arif Camacho. I am telling you, folks. My brain just feels like it's about to explode. Camacho, for the 5th time tonight, coming up to bat, he is 1 for 4 with a triple on the night. This time he's going to ground one sharply over to the left side. It's off of the chest of the third baseman, who is not going to be in time with the throw. So it looks like it'll be an E5, as Camacho reaches on an error. That'll bring up Kyle Norton, the first baseman. He tonight is 1 for 3. He's got an infield single and a sack fly, as well as a pop out and a strikeout. Looking for a second hit of the night and trying to do a job here for the Colt 45s. Throw over from the pitcher is going to be wide. It'll go out of play, and Camacho is awarded second base freely. So a little bit of an unfortunate turn of events there for Caden Peterson, who gives up a free base. And I've said this many times since the 5th inning, in which the Colts scored 7 runs that contributed to their current 8-run lead, but it's fallen apart for the Kings. Their pitching has not been strong since the 4th inning, and their fielding is the same way. So here's the pitch now to Norton. He's going to take a fastball outside for ball one. But I really don't know what happened, because, you know, I saw the Kings come out on the field for these first 4 innings. Their defense looked fantastic. Their pitching looked fantastic. And ever since those 7 runs scored in the 5th inning, they have just kept falling apart. Luckily, they've only given up 1 run since then, but it's been enough to hold them down so far. This game is getting pretty close to coming to a close. Now Peterson coming set. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. Nice block from Martinez, who throws on back to the mound. It's going to be a 2-0 count to Norton. see what he does here. Peterson gets his sign, comes set now. Here comes the pitch. Doesn't quite catch the outside corner with a fastball, so three quick consecutive balls to Kyle Norton. And he's on the verge of a walk with no outs here in the bottom of the eighth inning. These pitchers have just been taking a beating tonight. Ever since Evan Bilter was taken out of the game, the control has just not been at a high level. Now Norton's going to watch another fastball go by high. Apparently they're saying that's just ball three, however. The scoreboard had it at ball four, but apparently we've got three balls and a strike. Now Peterson looking down to get his sign. He's got it, comes set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back behind the stands. That one went over my head. The count moves full. Camacho at second. Doesn't look like he's got any intention of trying to take third with this seven-run lead, but he's still getting a good lead. Not being held on really at all as Peterson comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. And Norton smacks his bat into the dirt. He is frustrated with himself for going after that one. He knows it wasn't even close to the strike zone. Chased anyway. So that brings up Bryce Tweed for at bat number five. He's got a couple of walks, ground out and a fly out. No, somebody else is in for Tweed. It's Bryce Knock. Here comes the pitch. Curveball inside. It'll miss the strike zone. So Royce Knock in for Tweed. This will be his first at bat. He is, so he watches that curveball go by for ball one. Let's see if he can do a job here for the Colt 45s. A base hit would score a run as Peterson comes set. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Swing and a foul ball into the net. So I thought Camacho wouldn't even think about stealing with the seven-run lead, but apparently he was thinking of stealing as he goes on that pitch. Unfortunately, he'll be sent back to second as Knock fouls that one off to the right side. The count is tied up at one ball and one strike. We've got one out here in the bottom of the eighth with Camacho over at second. Again, he's not being held on too tight even after that stealing attempt. He's being held on a little bit. Now it looks like Peterson's going to step off and throw over. Camacho's back in standing up, however, as Peterson heads back on up to the rubber. Knock, having just graduated from Foothill High School this year, now the runner's going to go. The throw is going to be not in time. It was a close play, an absolute dot of a throw from Gavin Martinez, the catcher, but the speed of Camacho just beats it. So now, with one out and a runner on third, Royce Knock's going to be looking at a 2-1 count. And fly ball in the outfield could score a run here. Now the pitch. Inside, up and on the hands of Knock, but it's going to be a called strike. So the count moves to two balls and two strikes. Knock now going to have to battle to stay alive if he wants to contribute to this Colt 45's offense. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, Knock swings and misses. Now he's going to run to first. The throw from Martinez is going to be off target, but the first baseman, Barrizimo, is going to make the snag. So Knox headed back to the dugout. Camacho is going to stay at third as Wyatt Reginato comes out to bat for the fifth time tonight. He has yet to find a hit. Got a couple of ground outs, reached on an error, and then walked. Now he's going to watch a fastball go by. It'll be low for ball one. Camacho, I mean, we know Camacho's a guy who really wants to get in the head of the pitcher when he's on the base paths. And he does a great job of it, too. He's electric. He's got a lot of speed, and he knows how to use it well, too. Taking lots of lunges and fake moves over towards the bag. It really gets in the pitcher's head. And just like that, Peterson throws another ball in the dirt, ball two. Camacho, I believe, after tonight, will have 10 steals on the season so far. That's in just 8 games. So now the pitch from Peterson. Catches the outside corner with a fastball there for strike one. It'll be a 2-1 count now to Reginato. As Peterson looks down, once again takes his sign. Now he's going to shake one off. He'll take that one, come set. Here's the pitch. Curveball, misses high, ball three. So Peterson continues to struggle with his control. Let's see if he can end the inning here without giving up a run, however. Count is 3-1. We've got two outs. On deck is Trey Harrison. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into left field. Left fielder going in, and he'll make the catch on the run. So that ends the inning for the Kings. Colts don't score any runs, and we'll head into the top of the ninth. If they can hold on to that 7-run lead, they'll walk away with the W. So we'll see you after the break, folks.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 15th Annual Taste of Reading 2022. Sunday, June 12th from noon until 4 at Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on 3 stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Billies, the Stonehearts, Hook, Refugia, and Mark McAbee and Jason Schroeder of Clearcuts. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. Reading West Rotary would like to especially thank O2 Employment Services and Sun Oaks Health Club for their underwriting sponsorship to their local breweries for this year's Taste of Reading. There will be fun for the entire family, so come on down to the 15th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 12th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets online at tasteofreading.com.
My name is Mike Gutierrez. I'm a 40-year resident in Shasta County, and I served honorably and proudly in the United States Marine Corps from 1967 to 70 with a tour in Vietnam. My experiences and lessons that I learned in the Marine Corps continue to benefit me even today. Semper Fi.
Shasta Regional Medical Center thanks you for your service and your sacrifice. United in care.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to Tiger Field. It is the top of the ninth inning. The Colts have a 7-run lead. The score is 8-1 as they face the West Coast Kings. It looks like it's going to be Colton Wolfing back out onto the mound to try to close this one out for the Colt 45s. It's going to be Josh Rago, the designated hitter, coming up to bat once again. He is 0-3 on the night. We're having a little game over here on the left field line with the kids, and they're finishing up right now. Kind of delayed this inning a little bit, but now it looks like we'll get started. So Wolfing will look to close it out. He just has to make sure he doesn't give up 7 or more runs here in the top of the ninth. With the way it's been going for the Colts, it doesn't look like that'll happen, as Rago fouls one off deep to the right side. There's some power behind that swing, but not a lot of accuracy as he fails to keep it fair. 0-1 count now. Here's the pitch from Wolfing. Swung on and driven down the third baseline. Snagged by Reginato on the dive. Here's the throw. It's going to be in time. He got him. Wow. That is one of the best plays I have seen at the collegiate level, and I am not joking with you or overemphasizing anything. Reginato completely laid out for that laser shot down the third baseline, stood up, and made a Manny Machado-esque throw to the first baseman, Norton, who had to jump up a little bit for it, but got it and kept his foot on. Now there's going to be a light ground ball down the first baseline. It'll stay fair. Norton's got it. He'll tag first for out number two. Man, and even with that play, I'm still thinking about Reginato. That's all I can keep my mind on. I mean, wow, that is just the icing on the cake tonight for the Colt 45s, as they are simply one out away from taking another W. Man, that was just a really nice play from Reginato. And that's something that you might see on a Sports Center if this game were being filmed. Anyway, it's going to be a first pitch ball to Gavin Martinez, the catcher. Martinez is 1-for-3 tonight with a single and a couple of strikeouts. Now he'll swing at one and lift it foul over to the back of the stands. It'll be a 1-1 count now with two outs. Man, there's a horde of children chasing after that one. I don't know if I've ever seen so much aggression going after a baseball before. Again, the count is 1-1. Wolfing sets up. Here's the delivery. In the dirt, spiked, and into the leg of the umpire, who looks a little bit hurt right now. That couldn't feel good. Ball was spiked in the dirt. The catcher Mendoza didn't really have any sort of chance to block it. But as an umpire, you just got to be ready for pitches like those. Unfortunately for him, but, you know, it's part of the job. So with the 2-1 count, we've got two outs. The umpire's, yeah, he's fine. He just had to take a little walk. Martinez looking to keep the Kings alive. Here's the pitch. Catches the outside corner for strike two. And the count is evened up. Two balls, two strikes. We've got two outs here in the top of the ninth. And the Colt 45s are just one strike away from putting away this Kings ball club. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Game over. So it looks like the Colt 45s will pick up their sixth straight win off of the stellar starting performance from Isaac Horseman, and then a solid job by the bullpen coming in for the last two innings and finishing off the Kings. The Kings really looked like they were holding it together through four innings. They did not allow this Colt 45's offense to get a hit until that bottom of the fifth inning, in which it all fell apart. They gave up the first hits of the ballgame to the Colt 45's, as well as seven runs. Then in the bottom of the sixth, they gave up another run, which totaled eight, that lifted the Colt 45's to their sixth straight victory. The biggest story I'd say here tonight, though, is that play at third base from Wyatt Reginato earlier here in the top of the ninth inning. That was a phenomenal, I would say, professional-level diving attempt from Reginato, and then a stellar throw to go along with it. Either way, the Colts take their sixth straight win of the season, and they'll head on to the second game of the series tomorrow night, same time, 7:15 here at Tiger Field. Again, we'll be broadcasting it here on KCNR, so tune in once again. I'm Austin White. I'll see you tomorrow night, folks.
who told him he needed to be doing something more. And aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the president responded with this sentiment, quote, maybe our supporters have the right idea. Mike Pence, quote, deserves it.
Okay, now, when Liz Cheney says this first, listen, it's a shocking thing for the president of the United States to say. Also, is anyone shocked? Like, if you're going to provide new information, it actually should be presumably new information. Now, Cheney is essentially making the case that Trump refused to call off the rioters. He didn't do enough to call off the rioters. Again, that was known like day of. We all remember this. Here's the thing about these hearings. If you're going to have a hearing, it's got to be about something we didn't know. It can't be about stuff that we knew because we were watching it in real time on that day. And you got every element of what Trump was thinking that day and in like the next 2 days that followed. I believe one of the charges in the impeachment was something about how Trump had basically been derelict in not activating the Capitol Police and not activating the National Guard in time. So what is the case that she is making here? Is the case that Donald Trump actively organized with these people, that he was derelict in not calling people off, that he was derelict in not activating the National Guard in time? Again, all of that's been fairly well established, except for the first point, which is the whole idea that this was an insurrection organized by not just Donald Trump, the entire Republican Party in coordination, the same Republican Party that's out there trying to rig elections today, vote Democrat. That's the part they never quite established. So here's Liz Cheney saying that Trump refused to do anything to call off the rioters. And again, this is not shocking to me because this was pretty clear at the time.
You will hear testimony that, quote, the president did not really want to put anything out calling off the riot or asking his supporters to leave. You will hear evidence that President Trump refused for hours to do what his staff, his family, and many of his other advisors begged him to do. Immediately instruct his supporters to stand down and evacuate the Capitol.
Yeah, now, again, what are they trying to establish here? What is the goal here? The goal is to suggest an ongoing threat to American democracy, not that Donald Trump acted badly. Again, Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, did contact General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and told him to activate the National Guard. That is a thing that did happen, and the Capitol building was cleared. So what exactly is the attempt to establish here? The attempt is electoral in nature. All of these things can be true at the same time. People acted ugly in ugly fashion, in bad fashion, in criminal fashion. Donald Trump acted very badly that day. He said things that were untrue between November 4th and January 6th. He had a duty to activate the National Guard ASAP as soon as people were going into the Capitol building. He apparently did not fulfill that duty, which we knew based on the simple timeline. Okay, all of that stuff can simultaneously be true. And also, inflation stats this morning, 8.6%, the highest since 1981. So where do you think Americans are going to put their focus? On a thing that we knew a year ago and that was really ugly and that Donald Trump is no longer president and was impeached over? Or the fact that their wages went down over the course of the last year 3.4%? Which one do you think is going to play more with the American public? You'll get some more from the Democratic propaganda hearing yesterday. And again, it can all a lot of this stuff can be true and it can be emotionally visceral. And also, it can be propaganda. All this stuff can be true at once. We'll get to more of this in just a moment. But first, a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high. Again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, the Democrats showed some brand new footage last night that actually didn't really prove anything at all. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats tried to trot out new footage last night. Either they're burying the lead or they don't actually have new footage of anything relevant. Where is the meat, guys? Like, at some point, you have to show the meat. If the January 6th hearing is about how the Republican Party in total was complicit, not just complicit, but involved in the January 6th attack on the Capitol building, you're going to have to show the meat. Now, Benny Thompson told Jake Tapper last night that there were going to be witnesses describing actual conversations between the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and people in Trump's orbit. Suffice it to say, if they had that evidence, why did they not show that? That would be like the lead. If you had a conversation between Mark Meadows and the head of the Oath Keepers saying, yeah, tomorrow we're going into the Capitol, Mark Meadows being like, yeah, that's great, let's overturn democracy. Like, that wouldn't that be the lead? As opposed to, say, Liz Cheney talking through a bunch of allegations that we already know about and could see plainly from the timeline. Or, like, the stuff that they tried to play as revelations last night are not revelations. Like, they played a clip, for example, of Bill Barr saying that the election fraud claims were nonsense. He says that in his memoir. He told that to me on the Sunday special. This has been a long time. I mean, Bill Barr said this openly at the time. I'm like, is this a revelation?
I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was bullshit. And, you know, I didn't want to be a part of it, and that's one of the reasons that went into me deciding to leave when I did. I observed, I think it was on December 1st, that, you know, how can we, you can't live in a world where the incumbent administration stays in power based on its view, unsupported by specific evidence, that the election, that there was fraud in the election.
Was this supposed to be a revelation? Like, where's the revelations, guys? I'm waiting for revelations. Okay, so what's another revelation? Another one of the revelations is that apparently Ivanka Trump said that she agreed with Bill Barr. Is it supposed to make Ivanka Trump look bad? Like, what is that? And there's always this idea in the media and in the Democratic Party that there was a power behind the throne when it came to Trump. That it was like Ivanka and Jared manipulating Trump from behind it. Trump is not manipulable in the circumstance in which he just disagrees with people around him. This is very obvious from every element of his life. So Ivanka says that, but was Ivanka like out there saying that the election was stolen? Did I miss the part where she said that? Because that, as far as I'm aware, did not happen between November 4th and January 6th. So when Ivanka testifies to this, what again, where's the meat?
How did that affect your perspective about the election when Attorney General Barr made that statement?
It affected my perspective. I respect Attorney General Barr. So I accepted what he said was saying.
Okay, and this was played up on Twitter, by the way. It's like, this is a big revel. Why? You mean people around Donald Trump knew that what he was saying about the election, that wasn't true? Yeah, that's why he ended up with Sidney Powell as his lawyer, talking about releasing the Kraken, and Rudy Giuliani in front of Four Seasons Gardening and Lawnmowers. Like, don't you remember any? Like, we were all there for this, guys. So where's the revelation? Okay, other revelations. Jared Kushner, apparently. Pat Cipollone came to him. He was the White House counsel. He came to him and he said, I don't like what's going on with this January 20th stuff and Donald Trump talking about the election, and maybe I'll quit. And Kushner said, you know, honestly, I didn't think he was going to quit. I thought he was kind of whining. And this is apparently a big revelation.
Jared, are you aware of instances where Pat Cipollone threatened to resign?
I kind of, like I said, my interest at that time was on trying to get as many pardons done. And I know that, you know, he was always, to him and the team were always saying, oh, we're going to resign. We're not going to be here if this happens, if that happens. So I kind of took it up to just be whining, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, I mean, why would he take it that Pat Cipollone was just kind of whining and wouldn't actually resign? Maybe because he didn't resign. Pat Cipollone left office on January 20th, 2021. He did not actually resign. And then there's a lot of talk about maybe he would resign. Did he resign? No. In fact, he actually represented Donald Trump in his original impeachment hearing. This is a big revelation, though. Wow, he said that he thought Cipollone was whining because he was always threatening to resign. Maybe because apparently Cipollone was always threatening to resign and never did. Like, Bill Barr actually resigned. Cipollone never did. So, okay, no meat there. Okay, and then we get down to what this is really about, which is the emotional images of the day. And they were hideous. They were ugly. Is there anyone in America who believes that this was good stuff? That this was, like, a wonderful thing? That the violence didn't happen? That everybody there was just there because they were having a good old picnic inside the Capitol building? Some people were there because they wandered in like dolts because there were actual police officers opening the doors. That did happen. There's video of that. But the people were, like, smashing windows and beating the hell out of police officers. Like, all that happened. So when you have Capitol police officers testifying about violence, you know, this is the part where I'm there for it, but I gotta say, I wish that there was some consistency in the level of defense of the police from the Democrats that you get when it comes to January 6th. Apparently, the only good police officers on planet Earth were the ones serving at the Capitol building January 6th. Everybody who hits a police officer, including people on January 6th, should be put in jail, obviously. They should be put in prison. They've committed a crime. But I feel that way also about cops in L.A. and cops in New York and cops in Chicago. I feel that way about cops in Waukesha. I feel that way about cops all over the country. The Democratic Party, meanwhile, is like, well, you know, maybe we should just jailbreak everybody, except these are the hero cops. These are the only hero cops. The hypocrisy of Democrats when it comes to their support for the police is really quite disgusting. It really is. I'm all there for the support for the cops on January 6th. I'm also all there for support for the cops all over the country. Democrats are not. So the crocodile tears about this just ring a little hollow. Right, this particular woman is a hero because she talks about the violence that she underwent. She's a hero. The Democrats, who are focused in on one specific act of violence at the expense of a bunch of other acts of violence, they're not heroes. They're political narcissists. Here's the police officer talking about what happened. And it was ugly and it was hideous. And people who deny this are incorrect.
I couldn't believe my eyes. There were officers on the ground. You know, they were bleeding. They were throwing up. They were, you know, they had, I mean, I saw friends with blood all over their faces. I was slipping in people's blood. You know, I was catching people as they fell. It was carnage. It was chaos.
All of that is true. It is also true that the Democratic agenda here is to tie everybody who is at the protest to everybody who is at the riot, and all Republican voters to the protesters, to the rioters. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. They're calling it the Los Angeles Declaration. President Biden and other Western Hemisphere leaders touting the blueprint for countries to host large numbers of migrants and refugees as the signature achievement of this week's Summit of the Americas.
This declaration reflects the Biden administration's support for legal migration and its opposition to illegal migration. And it seeks to spread the burden for combating the problems of illegal migration more evenly amongst countries that are neighboring to the United States.
The BBC's David Willis reporting. The set of principles announced on the summit's final day Friday includes legal pathways to enter countries, aid to communities most affected by migration, humane border management, and coordinated emergency responses. Meatpacking giant Smithfield Foods says it will close its only California plant next year, citing the escalating cost of doing business in the state. 1,800 workers will get severance pay. Some will have the option of relocating to other facilities. Former President Trump took to his new social media platform Friday morning to bash the first public hearing led by the House committee investigating the riot at the U.S. Capitol.
Mr. Trump fired off at least 8 posts on Truth Social, his platform that is mirrored after Twitter. In part, he defended the videotaped testimony of his daughter Ivanka, who said she was swayed by then-Attorney General William Barr's determination that no widespread election fraud occurred in 2020. Mr. Trump wrote, quote, "The so-called rush on the Capitol was not caused by me. It was caused by a rigged and stolen election." Members of the January 6th panel laid out evidence and allegations against Mr. Trump during its primetime debut Thursday. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Check out the latest news and read the best analysis, both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need, and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
While in the Democratic Republic of Congo for a historic visit, Belgium's king initiated the return of artifacts looted during the rule of his ancestor, King Leopold II.
It may only be one object, but the significance of this gesture is huge. In 2020, King Philippe became the first Belgian official to express regret for the suffering and humiliation inflicted on the Congo, but he stopped short of issuing a full apology. Now he's begun the process of returning its precious treasures. The Kakungu mask, which was used in initiation ceremonies by the indigenous Suku community, was handed over to Congo's National Museum as an indefinite loan.
That's the BBC's Richard Hamilton reporting. The Biden administration lifting its requirement international air travelers to the U.S. take a COVID test within a day before boarding their flights. More at townhall.com. Free speech is coming at a pretty heavy price for Jack Del Rio, who's with the Washington Commanders football team.
Coach Ron Rivera says Del Rio has been fined $100,000 after the assistant coach referred to the Capitol riot as a dust-up and questioned why the protests in the summer of 2020 after George Floyd's death were not receiving the same scrutiny.
People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down.
No problem. And then we have a dust-up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal.
Del Rio later apologized for his remarks. Rivera says the statements were hurtful to members of the local community and do not reflect the views of the organization. Mike Hemp in Washington.
And be sure to check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Donald Trump, Donald Trump, and Donald Trump.
Yes, Jeffrey Toubout on CNN declaring a little bit of truth, actually, what the hearing, it wasn't even a hearing, so that's a lie. The little donkey show that all the networks carried live last night, commercial free. You see, they built in a commercial break for the networks because it's all a terrible television show. Jeffrey Toubout saying it's all about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump. It's all about politics is what it's all about. Then he put his pants back on, which, you know, everyone was grateful for. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. Broadcasting today from Chicago, Illinois, in the studios of WLS. The great blowtorch, WLS, and boy, what a state we're in as a country. And if we had a news media, what would they do in a situation like this? I saw, you know, this is a big thing. They've been saying it since last year, that the events at the Capitol of January 6th last year, 2021. The worst thing to happen at the Capitol since the British sacked Washington in the War of 1812. They got to Washington in 1814, and they burned the Capitol, and they burned the White House. And I'll take a look at that, because I actually have a memory that predates last year. And I've learned things throughout the course of my life, and I haven't erased my memory again and again with LSD or whatever it is that they use to forget all these pesky things. I'm going to share with you, you know, the left-wingers have bombed the Capitol and shot members of Congress. They had a suicide attack last year, 3 months after January 6th, a left-wing racist attacked on the Capitol. Suicide attack, murdered a police officer. I've been talking about that, but there's a lot more that you're not going to see on CNN from Jeffrey Toubout and his fellow travelers. It is... It's an amazing time to be alive. We've got a news media. I think perhaps they don't have access to Al Gore's amazing internet. They're incapable of looking these things up. Extraordinary times indeed. You know, I've got to say the psycho killer, Kiss Kiss Say, that was captured by police outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home the other day. How many psychopaths? Here's one of the questions I have for the police on this. Did the Democrat Party psycho killer who was there to assassinate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh because abortion, you know, and guns, so he brought a gun and a knife and a hammer and a screwdriver and a crowbar and duct tape. And, it's almost like a cartoon. But the good thing, the Democrat psycho killer, the terrorist, and that's what he is, would-be assassin, was captured by the police. He called 911 on the lead-up. He called the police because he's a psycho. Now it turns out he apparently was on some sort of medications, like so many of these psycho killers that go on killing sprees and things like that. But the other day, I almost wish we'd play the tease. I guess in theory we could. We were on the air when we learned that the psycho killer had been captured by police, Democrat Party terrorist, probably suicide attacker. And that's one of the questions I would have for the police. When you were interviewing the Democrat Party psycho terrorist, did he say that he was planning on dying in the process of committing his assassination, his crime? Also, was he planning on killing Justice Kavanaugh alone? He was attacking him at home, where Justice Kavanaugh's wife and children reside also. Was he planning on the psycho killer terrorist killing the whole family? You know, the news media, that day it happened again. We were on the air. We were collecting the details as we were going the other day. And I predicted that day that the news media would hit this story in the back of the head with a shovel and bury it in a shallow grave. And it turns out that, for example, the head of the snake, the head of the media snake, is, of course, the New York Times. And the New York Times put the story the next day. This was their first take on the story, was on page 20 of the New York Times. They have 20 pages in the New York Times. And, you know, it doesn't take Nostradamus to predict what the media is going to do next. But I'm pretty good at it. I've been watching this for a little while. And I did say in our tease for the next day that we can now watch the media bury this story, ignore the story. And putting the story on page 20 is the dictionary definition, the textbook definition of media burying the story. Molly Hemingway, the wonderful Molly Hemingway, wrote a story on it, said that she thought it was unbelievable. And she's just great. Unbelievable, she said, the way that the New York Times buried the story, putting it on page 20, because it's not, you look, I mean, if this were a guy wearing a MAGA hat with a gun and a shovel and duct tape and a crowbar and magazines full of ammunition at Sonia Sotomayor's home, it would be a banner headline on the front page. There would be 30 sidebar stories. It would be everyday front page news. They'd have reporters down at the courthouse badgering the marshals or wherever it is, keeping him in jail for details so they could keep the story going. Front page news forever and ever. But it's a left-wing lunatic, and there are so many of them, that they just buried the story. Look, it's pretty easy to predict. We know what the formula is at this point. Again, when they had a suicide attack on the Capitol 3 months after January 6th last year, actually murdered a police officer, unlike, the day of January 6th where no police officers were murdered. The Democrats tried to create, and by that I mean the media, tried to create a murdered police officer when U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick tragically died the day after. He died on January 7th of a stroke at the hospital. And they lied. They made up a big lie that he had been bashed over the head with a fire extinguisher again and again. And they kept that going for weeks. Some are still peddling that story. It was a lie. It was a fraud. It was a sham, a put on. But that's what they do. Then when you have the psycho killer, and less than 3 months later, under 3 months later, a left-wing racist suicide attacker who was whipped into a racist anti-police frenzy by the Democratic Party. And by the way, this psycho killer at Brett Kavanaugh's house was whipped into a frenzy by the Democratic Party as well. Why do you think he was there? Why all the rage? It was the Democrat Party that whipped him up. By demonizing and vilifying Brett Kavanaugh with a series of falsehoods, by bringing up women to Capitol Hill to lie about him. And they were all lies, lies, all lies. and the media still hasn't straightened that out, of course. They haven't corrected the record on all of that because, you know, the lie is better than the truth for the Democrat Party and the left, and that means the news media as well. But the New York Times place the story of the psycho killer on page 20. And now they're telling us, and this has been a talking point since January 6th, that this January 6th event was the worst thing that has happened at the Capitol since the British invasion of Washington, D.C. in 1814, part of the War of 1812, when they burned and sacked and plundered Washington, which they did. They burned the White House, and they that was the last time the president was evacuated from the White House because of a, you know, an army of lunatics attacking British soldiers, attacking the White House, until President Trump was evacuated. And his family, the first family, was evacuated by the Secret Service because a mob of Democrats, a violent mob of criminal Democrats, were laying siege to the White House for several days. And the news media treated that. They said it was mostly peaceful. And they set St. John's Church on fire across the street, like the British burning the White House and burning the Capitol in the War of 1812. But the Democrat Party created more suicide attackers attacking police and Republicans, suicide attackers, again and again and again. But you know that if you listen to this radio show. That's about the only place you're going to get the truth. But I brought with me today more truth because the Democrats, they've and Liz Cheney have been saying, you know, whatever happened to her, have been saying, this is the worst thing to happen since the War of 1812. That's a flagrant lie. Now, lefties have bombed the U.S. Capitol. Lefties have shown up in the gallery in the House of Representatives and shot members of Congress, multiple members of Congress. On it goes. But Salon Magazine last year, July 18th, 2021, the War of 1812 versus January 6th. Which was the worst attack on the Capitol? That's the headline from Salon Magazine. Left-wing rags, Matthew Rosa. Left-wingers, they're propagandists, they're not journalists, they're frauds, they're charlatans, they're in politics. And also, from July of 2021, last year, Cheney, colon, she loves her colon. January 6th insurrection was worst attack since 1814, burning of Washington. Now, that's obviously absurdly, comically false, but we'll get into some of the details on that. And Nancy Pelosi made the same claim. And the Washington Post, just 3 days ago, made the same false claim. But, you know, the big lie, and this is why they trotted out the turn of phrase big lie, which their boy Joseph Goebbels and their boy Adolf Hitler came up with, National Socialist Workers' Party. The big lie. They knew they were rolling out the big lie and that they use the big lie all the time, you know, make the lie so big no one would dare not believe it and repeat it so many times that the big lie becomes the truth. But the Washington Post the other day, it was analysis. It's always analysis, isn't it? They say Democrats aren't counting on the January 6th committee hearing to help them with voters. That's a lie. That's in the headline. And then they go on to say in the story that the Washington Post day before yesterday typed up by a couple of Democrats posing as journalists that it was hard to imagine the days following the worst attack on the Capitol since the War of 1812. This is 3 days ago in the Washington Post. Well, I guess they have a very limited memory when it comes to this sort of thing, and they of course don't have access to Al Gore's amazing internet. Otherwise, they might ask, you know, scratch their heads a little and say, is this really, you know, we're going to say this in the Washington Post. Maybe we should check this. But no, it's a lie that was too good to check. It's the Democrat Party lie, and they're carrying the Democrat Party lie. Great stuff. And, you know, again, suicide attack after suicide attack. And then they had that guy self-immolate on the steps of the Supreme Court on Earth Day because, you know, it was Earth Day, after all. So he wanted to put some smoke in the air of his own smoldering body. Another suicide. No, he didn't murder anybody other than himself. But it was in the name of, you know, the environment, because he's very concerned. He was, past tense, very concerned about the environment. By the way, Democrats have announced in press releases, they did it the other day, that they plan on shutting down the Supreme Court on Monday. That's 3 days from now. Mobs of left-wing, radical, glassy-eyed loons are going to show up in an orchestrated and organized fashion at the Supreme Court. And, you know, the Department of Homeland Security put out, well, they didn't even put it out. It was leaked. They had a memo that they were distributing to law enforcement saying that they have picked up intelligence, you know. It's bad intelligence. They, Team America, World Police, they have picked up intelligence that left-wing radicals were planning on assassinating all of the conservative members of the Supreme Court, conservative nominees to the Supreme Court, six of them. They're very upset. They're not good losers, I think it would be generous to say. And the 24 clerks that work for the six conservative nominees to the Supreme Court, that they were going to burn the Supreme Court, sack the Supreme Court, and that was, I don't think the New York Times even mentioned that. If they did, it was probably on page 30 instead of page 20. But they're still planning on doing this. The Epoch Times has the story, but the Washington Post doesn't. Activists plan to block entrances and shut down Supreme Court to prevent expected Roe v. Wade ruling. We're also told that the National Guard has been alerted and will be either on standby or deployed to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for the Roe decision because, you know, they really love abortion and they might have to burn and loot in response if things don't go the way they're. And they're, you know, threatening and intimidating the members and their families. That's called terrorism, in an effort to produce a different political outcome. Amazing stuff. The Washington Post fired one of their women of color reporters because she's a pain in the rump, and they fired her. But it's kind of funny. Actually, it's because they don't support free. Well, she doesn't support free speech. Get to that. Chuck Todd's show on MSDNC tried to book a congressman. They had a problem in that the congressman died some time back, but they don't follow the news, do they? Remarkable stuff. We got a record gas price in the United States. Thanks, Biden. We're getting the new inflation numbers today as well. I'll have that for you. And a lot more.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Greta Van Susteren is back and making waves. She's joining Newsmax as host of the new show, The Record with Greta Van Susteren. Starting June 14th, Greta reports on the big stories from Washington and around the world, giving you the facts you need to know. Greta's smart, asks the tough questions, and she's always fair. She's the real deal, journalism the way it ought to be. That's why millions are making the switch to Newsmax. Make the switch and watch Greta Van Susteren. Get the info on her new show, just text the word Greta to 39747 or go to gretasback.com. That's gretasback.com. Newsmax is America's fastest growing cable news channel on all the major systems and streaming platforms. Make the switch today and get the latest on Greta's new show. Text Greta to 39747. Newsmax is real news for real people. Texting enrolls for automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors. Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better? Or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Monica Guzman is on a mission to depolarize America.
That animosity is called affective polarization. It's polarization based on how we feel about each other. We are actually living under more anxiety and fear than is probably justified. By the way, when we have less fear, we can solve more.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum, boom, boom. Yeah, the new inflation number came out this morning as well, and it went up again. Now at a 40-year high, 8.6% inflation. You know, food, rent, gasoline. Gasoline hit a new all-time high today, up another penny. It was per gallon of regular. It was $4.97 a gallon yesterday. Average price, gallon of regular across the country. Now it's $4.98. Let's just get to $5 and round it out, shouldn't we? I think so. Let's go to a lot more Biden news coming up, too. Let's go to the phones, Jeff. Let's go to David calling from Fairfax, Virginia. David, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, David. What do you say?
Well, you know, it seems with Nancy Pelosi dragging her feet to provide protection or to even bring the protection bill for justices to the floor in Congress, and with the attitude of Merrick Garland and the White House against keeping people from protesting and enforcing the law, it's almost like they want the justices targeted.
It seems that there is an ongoing intimidation campaign at the highest levels of the Democratic Party. You're absolutely right. Nancy Pelosi was asked about it yesterday. She walked away from the microphones and, you know, like the sort of, you know, granny apple sock puppet that she is, said that the justices aren't in danger over the weekend because for another week, the House of Representatives has not taken up the bill already passed by the Senate. That would provide more security for Supreme Court justices and their families. She is dragging her feet, and you're 100% right. And why is that? After we had a left-wing radical assassin show up at Brett Kavanaugh's home where his wife and his children are, and Merrick Garland, who, thank God, is not on the Supreme Court, the corrupt attorney general at the corrupt Justice Department with the corrupt FBI, is not enforcing the law. It is illegal to go to the homes of Supreme Court justices. Federal law prohibits this particular exercise. It's not a First Amendment right. And you're right, the Justice Department under Joe Biden and Joe Biden's White House and Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives are doing everything they can to continue the intimidation. It's amazing.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 15th Annual Taste of Reading 2022. Sunday, June 12th from noon until 4 at Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews. Plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Billies, the Stonehearts, Hook, Refugia, and Mark McAbee and Jason Schroeder of Clearcuts. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. Reading West Rotary would like to especially thank O2 Employment Services and Sun Oaks Health Club for their underwriting sponsorship to their local breweries for this year's Taste of Reading. There will be fun for the entire family, so come on down to the 15th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 12th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets online at tasteofreading.com.
Cinerama presents Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibition. Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, We provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Yeah, so Joe Biden's economy, which he keeps assuring us, is just great. On Jimmy Kimmel the other night, ABC fluffer. You know, the president of ABC News was the producer of the Democrat TV donkey show last night. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yeah, Biden telling us how great everything is. Well, inflation is now at a more than 40-year high. But, you know, when you're a Democrat, the news media spins it for you. And you can come out and say, you know, no, this is great. This is, I love this place. I come for the strudel. You know, everything's wonderful. I know I went to Mike DeMone and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but just occurred to me. So the National Review people have the headline, inflation rate hits 8.6%, highest level in four decades. Four decades, the consumer price index went up by 8.6% in May, the highest year-over-year increase in four decades, the Bureau of Labor Statistics revealed on Friday. This is what happens when the left wing takes over. It's all very predictable. The increase was higher than the 8.3% increase projected by economists. Thanks, economists. Core CPI, Consumer Price Index, excluding volatile energy and food prices, increased by 6% year over year. But that's not all there is to it. There's more than that. USA Today, inflation hit new 40-year high in May as gas, grocery, rent prices jumped. So, honestly, the less you make, the more it hurts. All right, now, if you're a family of four, you're making $30,000 a year. This 8.6% inflation rate means that for every $1,000 you had last year, let's say you had $1,000 in the bank last year, that $1,000 is now worth $914 because you've lost 8.6% of its worth, of its value, all right? And USA Today types, on behalf of their party, the Democrat Party, inflation unexpectedly hit a new 40-year high in May. It was unexpected because the economists said it would only be as gas, food, and rent prices surged, underscoring that its anticipated decline would be painfully slow. Who said it was anticipated to decline? Oh, that was the Democrat Party in the Biden administration. The Consumer Price Index increased 8.6% annually, up from 8.3% the prior month, and the largest rise since December of 1981. That's in a previous century. And about 20 years into the previous century, the Labor Department said on Friday, on a monthly basis, consumer prices rose 1% compared to a 0.3% rise the prior month. So it more than tripled month over month. And they just keep telling us, oh, no, everything's great because, you know, we lie all the time. And you should believe the lies that we tell you all the time. Again, gasoline prices, national average gallon regular gas, $4.98 a day. today. It was $4.97 yesterday. That's the smallest increase. Now, they can tell us that the rate of increase is slowing, and they'll get away with that. We've hit new record gas prices, I think, for 14 consecutive days. Isn't that right? And now, like 31 out of the last 32 days, we've had new records for gas prices. It's over $5 a gallon most places. It's over $6 a gallon in California. Gas Buddy says that we can expect $6 a gallon gas before the end of the summer. And we have a dim-witted energy secretary who you may remember was giggling about this recently, Jennifer Granholm. She's a Democrat from Michigan, and just amazing and awful. These people. And again, the less you make, the more it hurts. All right? Just amazing stuff that we've got going on here. And what are the Democrats doing? They're holding hearings about January 6th of last year, where Ashley Babbitt was killed. Did they mention Ashley Babbitt? We played the audio yesterday of President Trump. On January 6th, go down there peacefully and patriotically protest. The Democrats yesterday played a portion of that soundbite, but they left out the part where President Trump said peacefully and patriotically for the little donkey show that they were doing, which is not a congressional hearing in the traditional sense. Just amazing. In fact, Jeff, let's go to a soundbite here. Here's Jennifer Granholm. Let's go to soundbite number 23. In November, she was asked about this. She was on, I think she was on CBS News back then too. But here's Jennifer Granholm. She's the secretary of the entire Department of Energy, and she was asked about the price of gas at the pump affecting average Americans out there and the cost of everything. And here's Jennifer Granholm giggling about it.
What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
That's a good one.
Would that I
That's
had
hilarious.
The magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is called OPEC.
Uh-huh. We have no power over this at all. That is hilarious. She said she's the Secretary of the Department of Energy in the United States of America, the U.S. government, most powerful nation in the world. And she laughs it off, and then she went to lunch because, you know, the press is with her. Now, yesterday she was on CBS News, and she was being asked about gas prices once again. Here's Joe Biden's Secretary of Energy. Slightly different tone because the laughing and saying that's hilarious didn't go over very well. So now she's got a slightly more serious tone. And she's, you know, now the messenger of doom.
Yeah, this summer is going to be rough. I'll just be honest with you. The Energy Information Agency, which is the energy that the entity that projects forward all the price of gas, the price of oil,
as opposed to projecting backward,
fall, it should be down to $4.27 a gallon.
The fall.
By late this year, early next year, it'll be down to four, maybe under four, maybe three, high $3 a gallon. So there will be some relief on the horizon, but during the summer driving season, it is going to be rough, no doubt about it, because we have such a demand and supply mismatch on the global market for oil.
Yeah, most people call it supply and demand rather than, you know, getting it backward as demand and supply mismatch. And it's your job to do something about it, you bubblehead. And, maybe much later. Sure, it's over $5 a gallon most places now. And, wow. Now, when President Trump, on Election Day, it was $2.10, $2.09. You know, there are various metrics that have been used. $2.09, and Senator Ted Cruz said it was $2.09 a gallon on Election Day when Joe Biden got more votes than anybody in the history of the country, more than Hillary Clinton because of all those sexist Democrat voters that didn't show up for her, and more than Barack Obama because of all the racist Democrat voters that didn't show up for him. But Joe Biden is the most beloved president in the history of the world by the Democrats, apparently. His brain, She's a no good. She's a broke. But 427, maybe at the end of something, she's hoping. Again, it was 210 on election day, $2.10. She's hoping months from now it will just be twice that. And this is okay. And the news media sweeps it under the rug. And they laugh it off because they're Democrats. And now 8.6% inflation. We are galloping toward third world status in so many ways with the violence and the criminality and the gang violence and gang looting and the anti-police. And, you know, this is our two major parties in the United States, and one of our major parties, the Democrat Party, is pro-criminal. You know, you can go without bail. Oh, we don't prosecute people for running over mothers and their baby strollers and their, you know, honestly, the mob violence, the gang violence, the looting, the carjacking. They shut down the schools. When they open, they tell your boys that they're girls and their girls that they're boys. They play the song Lola for them over and over again on a loop. Amazing. Gas Buddy says that by the end of summer, we're going to have gasoline at more than $6 per gallon. And it's just headed in the wrong direction, and it's going to get worse. But when you're a Democrat, you know, there you have it. Let's go to the telephones. And honestly, between gas prices and food prices, what do we have? Groceries are up 11.9%. If you can find what you're looking for in the grocery store. And then they blame everything on somebody else. Except for the, you know, the Chinese, they don't blame them for playing with germ warfare at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Oh, no, there are supply chain issues. And our transportation secretary is Pete Buttigieg. And he shows up every now and then and smiles and winks at the anchors. And he thinks he's going to run for president. And he may very well, because they're going to need somebody. All they have is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who also laughs her way through, you know, drug cartels. Now, there's an amazing thing. The attorney general of Montana was on the television on the Fox News channel this morning, talking about the record number of fentanyl deaths they're experiencing in Montana because of our open borders and the Chinese fentanyl flooding in through Mexico by way of the cartels. And Joe Biden is the best friend the cartels have ever had. Just amazing, amazing times that we're in here. All right, Jeff, let's go to another phone call here. Let's go to Dave. Calling from Wisconsin, your dairy state. Dave, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Mr. Plant.
Hey, Dave.
There's a thing in investing and money management called the Rules of 72.
Uh-huh.
You've probably heard of it. If you divide 72 by an interest rate, or in this case an inflation rate, it'll tell you how long it takes for something to double in value or price. Uh-huh. So if you divide 72 by this 8% inflation rate, that gives you a 9, which means everything will double in price in 9 years. But in reality, gas is more than, it has doubled in, what, a year and a half. So there's no way that the inflation rate, at least applied to gasoline and groceries, is 8% or 9%. The math just doesn't support that.
So they've so mismanaged the economy and the energy sector that the good old trusty reliable Rule of 72 no longer applies. That's been sort of kicked to the curb. It's antiquated now because we're doubling.
No, you're right. It absolutely does apply, but what it tells you is they're lying.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going. Okay. Well, look, I mean, the price of gasoline under Joe Biden, again, $2.10 on election day and way over. Honestly, they say it's $5 a gallon in a lot of states, but you go to the pump and, you know, in Chicago, I'm in Chicago right now, it's closer to $6. In California, it's way over $6. There are now, I think, dozens of states that have gone over $5. And from election day, again, and the news media and the Republicans very often, although Ted Cruz got it right. Ted Cruz came out and made statements on this, and he cited Election Day as the starting point, which is what the starting point ought to be, because that's when the energy sector started running for the hills. Joe Biden won, and he had already announced that he was going to declare jihad against the American energy sector, and he has, and it's been very effective. He's, ruining the United States of America, which is the goal of the hard left, but has not historically been the goal of the Democrat Party, were it not for the fact that the Democrat Party has now officially been taken over by the hard left, it still wouldn't apply. But now it does apply. Honestly, food prices.
There's a saying that talking to politicians about economics is the same as talking to 10-year-olds about sex, that they've heard all the words, but they don't know what any of it means.
Well, the Democrats are working on talking to the 10-year-olds about sex and teaching them what the words mean, too. You know, like transgender. That's a word that they want your 5-year-old to come home and discuss with you. Your kindergarten and first graders to come home and discuss with you. The Democrat Party's gone completely mad. And again, we had an assassin show up, a would-be assassin, thankfully, at Brett Kavanaugh's home, where his wife and children live, with duct tape and crowbar and hammer and screwdriver and Glock pistol and multiple magazines. And somehow, you know, that's on page 20 of the New York Times. Wow. Wow. Absolutely remarkable times. Dave, thank you for the call. And the reminder on the rule of 72. And what the Democrats are doing to our country. Not for our country, but to our country. Thanks, Dave.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
According to Fortune magazine, the Fed created 300 years worth of money growth during the pandemic in 2020. But that money doesn't go into the bank accounts of ordinary Americans. It goes directly into 24 elite institutions on Wall Street, one of which is the world's largest bank by market cap. So while the money isn't going back into the pockets of the people who need it most, here's the good news. I discovered a way for you to finally access something I call the Elite Wealth Pool. It has to do with an opportunity that some banks originally made available for wealthy clients. But it's an opportunity that may help you weather the coming economic meltdown. So here's how you can get a piece of the pie. You need to go to Masterworks. Visit Masterworks.com and use my promo code PLANT for unrestricted access. Again, that's Masterworks.com. Use my promo code PLANT. Before deciding to invest, carefully review important disclosures at Masterworks.io/CD. Remember, that's Masterworks.com, promo code PLANT.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, when you take care of your ride, we take care of you. That's why a $25 digital gift card can be yours when you buy 10 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil products at Napa Auto Parts. That's a reward for rewarding your ride and a way to treat yourself after treating your motor. So give your ride the premium motor oil it deserves and get rewarded in return.
Napa Know How.
Offer ends 10/31/22. Void where prohibited. Terms apply. For complete details, visit Pennzoil.com/rewards.
Hey guys, it's Peyton Manning, and I want you to know that home buying is easy when you work with my friends at American Financing. That's because you'll get a low-rate home loan and guidance. You can even pre-qualify for free in as little as 10 minutes. So, stop paying someone else's mortgage and give American Financing a call, 800-700-1687, or apply online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Monica Guzman is on a mission to depolarize America.
That animosity is called affective polarization. It's polarization based on how we feel about each other. We are actually living under more anxiety and fear than is probably justified. By the way, when we have less fear, we can solve more.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Now, the Justice Department is not arresting protesters showing up at Brett Kavanaugh's house after, which is illegal, after an assassin was arrested outside of his house. And Nancy Pelosi yesterday was asked why she is not taking up a matter in the House that has already been passed by the Senate to fund additional protection for Supreme Court justices and their families. She was snide and dismissive.
You said the justices are protected, but there was an attempt on Justice Kavanaugh's life.
It's protected. The justices are protected. This issue is not about the justices. It's about staff and the rest. Nobody is in danger over the weekend because of our not having a bill.
Nobody's in danger over the weekend because of our not having a bill. Let's go to Michael calling from Louisiana. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, yeah, I think there's and I'm listening on the iHeartRadio app, by the way. I think there's a bit more nefarious activity going on, and it's real simple. The politicians on the left want one of these justices killed, so then Joe Biden can fill the spot, and all of this goes away, all in one fell swoop. They'll get their crime bill, they'll have the padding for the crime bill, and they'll make sure that Roe v. Wade doesn't go anywhere. So they want to create the conditions to gin them up, to let somebody go ahead, some wackadoo like this last one, and actually be successful.
Well, I mean, look, they had this guy. He may have been another suicide attacker, this lunatic with the gun at Brett Kavanaugh's house where his family resides. We had a suicide attacker at the U.S. Capitol last year, 3 months after January 6th, murder of U.S. Capitol police officer William Evans. We've had suicide attackers against the Congressman Steve Scalise was shot, tried to murder a whole baseball field full of Republican members of Congress. And the news media doesn't make much of these suicide attacks against police in New York and Dallas and Baton Rouge. And when Nancy Pelosi is snotty and dismissive of a question from an apparent reporter, Why isn't the House taking up this bill that the Senate passed weeks ago that would provide additional security when we know that the Department of Homeland Security said that leftists are plotting to burn the Supreme Court, murder the Republican nominees to the Supreme Court and their clerks? And Nancy Pelosi is snooty about it, going away for the weekend, getting on an Air Force jet to go to one of her mansions in California. If something were to happen, I'm convinced she'd shrug. I mean, look, first of all, the balance of the court right now is 6-3. But the Democrats did murder a conservative nominee, there would be five conservatives and still three left-wing radical nominees. And would Joe Biden and the Democrats and Chuck Schumer rush to confirm a radical leftist? You bet they would. And do away with the filibuster.
In a hot second.
Go ahead, Michael.
In a hot second, they would.
Yeah.
It would be the fastest selection and confirmation we ever saw.
You bet it would. That's exactly right. And of course, it would send a message to the other justices, you know, that the Democrat Party is a dangerous, violent, terroristic organization. This whole effort is terroristic. And the Justice Department not acting is also criminal.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.